Hi, this is Fraser Hines, and you're listening to the 100th episode of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
What now?
Communication from Watchtower Command, Mistress Prime.
Sector 7, Sector 7 alert. Unauthorized capsule entry imminent. Repeat, unauthorized capsule entry imminent. Stand to on Sector 7.
Dr. Phil here from Adventures in Time, Space, and Music, wanting to wish all of you at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, Adam, Alicia, Isabella, Ben, Reese, Kirby, and Robert, a happy 100th episode, and very glad that Robert is recovering. You folks have always been rather kind to me in our humble little show, and I always enjoy the fun, banter, interviews, and general insanity we enjoy from your show week to week on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. I must, though, finally get around to that promise I made long ago to Adam about finally researching your theme tune, and for the tremendous 100th episode bash, well, it's about time that I deliver. Dr. Phil again with another installment of Adventures in Time, Space, and Music. In this segment, we'll be looking at a piece of stock music used in the pilot and Serial A Story 1, An Unearthly Child, the first of a four-part story comprising of An Unearthly Child, The Cave of Skulls, The Forest of Fear, and The Firemaker, which originally aired between the 23rd of November and the 14th of December 1963. The music in question here is Three Guitars Mood 2 by Nelson and Raymond and performed by the Arthur Nelson Group, released by Conroy Library Music Catalog BM303B. The music itself is pretty straightforward, rhythm and blues pattern with the soloist performing a solid body electric guitar with single coil pickups. A common example would be Leo Fender's Stratocaster electric guitar. Here, the lead guitar part is performed with heavy tremolo and reverb, accompanied by another guitar playing syncopated chord changes throughout with bass guitar and drum set. The lead guitar is performed with the heavy tremolo and reverb, while the acoustic environment for the remainder of the ensemble is a great deal drier. The form of Three Guitars Mood 2 is laid out with an alternating A and B sections, A, B, A, B, with a C section featuring arpeggiated patterns in the solo guitar, repeating A, B, and C with a final A section to finish. While Doctor Who fans often claim this piece of stock music being uniquely 60s Doctor Who, Three Guitars Mood 2 did not first appear in Doctor Who, but had first been heard in a BBC program a year earlier in 1962, in the premiere episode of the long-running police drama Zed Cars entitled Four of a Kind, here creating the atmosphere of the Lay nightclub where a character of Fancy Smith is patrolling outside. Within the fiction of Doctor Who, the song was listened to by Susan Foreman at the Coal Hill School early in the premiere episode, as performed by the fictitious 1960s group John Smith and the Common Men. A genuine irony, as the Doctor himself would assume the identity of John Smith on many occasions in the future of the show. John Smith was the stage name of the Honorable Aubrey Waits, who started his career as Chris Waits in The Carolers. In November 1963, they went from 19 to 2 in the British charts, well, at least fictionally. Outside of the pilot and premiere episodes of Doctor Who, references to Smith and the Common Men appear several times in other media. In the past Doctor Adventures, Salvation, Dodo Chapelet listened to the group in 1965. In the Doctor Who Side Trips unit Christmas Party's First Christmas, the Third Doctor provided the music for the party, which included the group. In the new adventures The Dying Days, taking place in 1997, the Eighth Doctor and Professor Bernice Summerfield search a flat and discover a cassette entitled Twang, more than 30 years of John Smith and the Common Men. As these examples demonstrate, this particular piece of stock music has interwoven itself into the larger canonical web that is Doctor Who mythology. As part of a September 1987 compilation by the Reference Department of the Doctor Who Appreciation Society, a limited release of 300 cassettes was made available entitled Space Adventures, music from Doctor Who 1963 to 1968, available with a reissue in the March of 1988. This release held catalog listing of Doctor Who Appreciation Society RDMP1. A compilation of stock music used in 1960s Doctor Who serials from Southern, DeWolf, Chapel Music, KPM, and MCPS music libraries, including music that appeared in An Unearthly Child, Inside the Spaceship, The Massacre, The Time Meddler, The Space Museum, The Moon Base, The Tomb of the Cybermen, and The Web of Fear. According to the liner notes from the CD release, Silva Screen Records had hoped to release Space Adventures on compact disc in the early 1990s, but copyright issues and other complications made a release cost prohibitive. In 1998, Julia Knott, who had produced the original release, returned to the various libraries to obtain fresh masters for CD mastering. The CD release, while correcting many mistakes in the liner notes, included 6 new cues and was produced by Mr. Knott himself, catalog JPD 2CD, and was limited to mail order and specialty stores. Because of the rushed production of the CD release, some of the new tracks went unchecked, and track 26, supposedly used in The Evil of the Daleks, was actually used in an unrelated program. While the final track, included here because of being the main title of BBC's 1958 production of Quatermass and the Pit, was later discovered to have appeared in the Space Museum Episode 1. Track 1 of Doctor Who's Space Adventures was Three Guitars Mood 2, a track from Conroy's Music Library. Conroy's Library Records, BM 12, 40, 156, 303, 315, 320, and 416, appeared in Doctor Who episodes from the 1960s through 70s. The use of stock music in television was important to early Doctor Who, especially as, prior to Series 7, all music for Doctor Who was either stock music or pre-composed by the likes of composers including, but not limited to, Norman Kay, Tristram Cary, Sir Richard Rodney Bennett, Dudley Simpson, and others. During the Hartnell era, this music was often played, pre-recorded, into the studio during the action. Between 1950 and 1965, many television programs licensed music from production libraries to use in their productions. Many of these libraries produced cues ranging anywhere from approximately 4 seconds to 4 minutes, often cataloged by genre, dramatic, suspense, romance, etc. This way, directors and music editors could cut cues together as needed for their programs, with some libraries even listing the musical keys of their pieces, as to make editing much easier. In an age where music is often produced in post-production for radio, film, television, and other media, it is important to understand how music in early television programs like Doctor Who was used and how integral to the production cues often were, often enriching our understanding of the development of early television, in addition to the adventures of our favorite wandering Time Lord and his adventures in time and space.
Paddy Kingsland, Radiophonic Workshop composer for Doctor Who and The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
I'm Peter Howell, BBC Radiophonic Workshop composer for Doctor Who.
I'm Roger Lynn. I worked at the Radiophonic Workshop for many years and I was a composer on many Doctor Who stories.
I'm Mark Ayres.
Hi, this is Dominic Glynn, composer for Doctor Who in the 1980s.
I'm Nick Briggs, the voice of the Daleks.
I'm Simon Guerrier and I'm a writer.
I'm Robert Shearman.
I'm Toby Haydo.
My name is Gary Russell.
And you're listening to Adventures in Time, Space and Music on ATSM.philipwcerner.com.
And no 100th episode of a podcast with me and Alicia in would be complete without having Alicia in it. Hello, Alicia.
Hello.
So how do you feel about reaching 100 episodes?
How long are you doing it for?
What, from now on or since?
How long, when do we start it?
The 13th of May 2010.
And we've got to 100.
Hmm?
I thought we... Wait. How many weeks were in a year?
52.
Oh, that's why we're at 100 now.
Well, obviously we've done a few other episodes in between the two episodes... one episode
so
a week.
So, why... No, if it's 52, right? This year 50 is 100. So, should we be at the 100th episode ages ago?
No.
Yes.
Because, no.
What's that? No, should we have been at the 100th episode ages ago because...
work it out right. First episode, 2010, May, yes.
Uh-huh.
A year later, which was May 2011, that would be 52 episodes, wouldn't it? Which it wasn't, but it would have been if you had one a week without any extra episodes.
Yeah.
So that would make this about 70 to 80 weeks. since then, so it wouldn't be, would it? So we've done more than one episode a week to make 100 episodes now.
Okay. I get it.
Griff, do you have any memories or favourite things, any favourite moments from your time on the show?
Yeah.
Yes?
When it was just us two.
Why'd you say that?
Just us two together forever.
You're right, yeah. No, I wasn't actually talking about...
Just the two of us. Oh, we can make... If we try...
No, I'm talking, do you have any moments that spring to mind that you think there was... Because obviously you've done quite a lot of things over the last 100 episodes. And I've asked our listeners what they think is their favourite bit. So I just wondered if there's anything... Because there are probably a few, but anything that springs to mind that... You remember of being...
We do podcasts.
No.
Every week for the past...
During the podcast.
100 episodes.
And during the podcast, something that you might have remembered that was really... that you quite enjoyed doing or thought was quite funny.
You know what my memory's like? My memory's like goldfish. I can't even remember what I just did 5 minutes ago.
I think you probably can, because it was probably something to do with a mobile phone or something like that. Or
my phone's really hot. It's like a radiator. Let's feel it.
It might be, because it's in constant use, maybe. Just 100 episodes. I know you weren't involved in every episode, but still, you were there from day one, and from the podcast we did before then, 3 years before then, so you've been a sort of, very...
Kind of grown up with this, ain't I?
We haven't grown up yet, have
we? I was 13 in 2010, now I'm 14, I was 14 when it was we were doing the podcast, and I'm going to be 15 this year.
I would say that...
I've kind of grown up with it.
When the show started, you weren't a teenager.
I was 13, I was 12. See, I've grown up with it.
You became 13 in 2010.
Yeah, I know. I'm 15 this year, and I'm 16 next year. I'm going to be 16.
Your mathematical skills haven't 16. Diminished, have they, in that time?
I'm taking a maths exam on the 1st of March. GCSE.
Well, that's not very good when you're not supposed to take your GCSEs till year 11. What are you going to be doing in year 11, then, if you're taking your GCSEs now?
No, these are just, like, coursework GCSEs.
Right. Would you like me to... this is the question I asked on Facebook. With episode 100 just around the corner, well, it's here now, can you think of your favourite moment from the show?
I can't think of any favourite moments. Well, I've enjoyed every moment I've been on the show.
No, you haven't, because you've been moaning a lot. Yeah. And saying, I don't want to do it. Mm.
And sometimes I can't be bothered.
Okay, well, these are what some of the listeners have said. Somebody called Kirby Bartlett Sloan says, Isabella saying Amy fall down. So, what happened on Doctor Who this week? Do you remember?
Amy fell down to the ground.
Did she?
Yes.
Oh dear, is she all right?
Yeah.
Actually, oh, I remember that.
Is Amy fell down, so you got that bit wrong.
Amy fell down.
Somebody who rather likes you in the shape of Mr. M, or B.C. Moore as he's coming in, he says, anything with Alicia in it. Which makes me chuckle just a little bit. So you will like this episode. I then said, we have been swamped by requests, as you can see above. That's me being sarcastic. And then suddenly, Richard Culp said, I think a comment from all of you on how the show has evolved will suffice. Think of all the changes that have occurred in the Bars 99 podcast. Here it is to 100 more.
We can make it if we try.
Well, things have to change. Things do change. Shush.
Just the two of us.
Things do change over time. So if it was always going to be just me and you doing the show, it would still change.
One thing I do like about the show is Ben making me laugh. He makes me laugh a lot.
Makes everybody laugh.
It's just everything he comes out with. It's so funny.
Yeah, well, that's...
I think you will like that comment.
I think you'd be surprised by it. No, but he never listens to the show, so you'll never hear it.
Why doesn't he? Hasn't he got an iPhone or iPod?
He doesn't have to. When he was on the radio, he never listened to his radio shows. Why should he listen
to
himself?
Is he still on the radio?
No, he's not. He's on our show. Rhys Parton, don't know if you've heard of him.
No, not really.
It would be a pretty long clip if you get a clip of it, but my favourite part of the podcast is when I first discovered the show. And then got to meet you and your brilliant listeners. Yep, I'm gushy. Now, the funny thing about that, he always criticises Mr. M on his diction and stuff and the way he writes things. The way he gets his letters mixed around when he's typing. Well, I'll show you because I've got a bit more of Mr. M later on. But when he said, I first discovered, he wrote it down like this. I frist discovered. So there you go, Reese.
You're getting worse than me. My typing's awful and I can't spell.
You criticise Mr. M and there you are doing it yourself.
Yeah, you criticise the youth.
He is the youth, Mr. Barton is. Kirby Bartley Sloan, I've got that one. Kirby Bartley Sloan said, of the interviews with writers stroke actors? So he likes my interview style then. He had a chance of actually joining in. Well, you haven't been in on many of the interviews. Do you remember the interviews you were in on?
Dalek one.
Nicholas Briggs, his actual name is, yes.
Yeah, Dalek guy.
Yeah. Anybody else?
Oh, Scarf guy.
Toby Haydock.
Yeah.
Richard Culp then went on to say, there is one thing I just recalled that I do miss. There was an intensive listener who had discovered... Oh, sorry, an inventive listener who discovered that he had a TARDIS in his bathroom. Hearing a clip from him would be nice.
But I remember him.
Yes, it was Tekkerman Blade or Tekkerman James. Would be nice, but I have to wonder whatever happened to him. Yes, we all wonder whatever happened to Tekkerman James.
Maybe he got bored.
I did get a message from his wife not so long ago.
Yeah, but you told us about that ages ago.
What about the wife, or the...
Yeah.
Did I? Richard Culp then went on to say, nearly forgot the comedy bit you and your wife did. That was funny. Do you remember that bit?
That wasn't funny.
It was funny because the listeners loved it. Listen on. You have to play that skit where she deleted your 20 megabyte files and the Dalek responded. No offence to Ben, but that was pure comedy. I wrote that. I wrote that down as a script. So there we go. It proves I can write comedy. Stop being sarcastic. I then went
You can't write comedy, because then you try... When
I can't write comedy.
Come on. When you try to be funny, you're not funny.
Well, that was clearly... That proves that I was funny, because... He just said, and I quote, that was comedy gold. Who wrote that? It was a typical girl fart, wasn't it?
Yeah, but your farts smell bad. They're really big. Yeah,
so do yours. Yeah, yes. But at least you know somebody's done them. Anyway,
smell.
I went on to say, so Reese, what would be the episode you discovered with, and I think you'll find... The brilliant listeners are ours, as you are a co-presenter, whether you deny it or not. Joe Rodney, remember him? He was one of our first ever feedback contributors. He said...
What happened to Whatchamacallit?
Who's Whatchamacallit?
Whatchamacallit.
I don't know who Whatchamacallit.
The referee guy.
Graham Sheridan, don't know. One of the... Whatever happened to thing. So if he'd stayed... No.
Did he still do our podcast?
He does a podcast. And if he continued listening to the show, he might have had the opportunity of joining in on the Fraser Hines interview, because he's a fan of Fraser Hines, because he likes the Second Doctor. Hence, Graham, the Second Doctor, Sheridan.
But I can't talk to Fraser Hines.
No.
I want to talk to him.
You can't, you're not here.
I want to.
You can't, you're not here.
Well, can't you give a chance message of talking from
to Andrew me? Smith. You were actually in the house when Andrew Smith interview was on, you didn't want to. And when we talked to
Who's Andrew Whitehouse. Smith?
The writer of Full Circles, a Doctor Who story with Tom Baker in it.
No.
Toby Whithouse, you had a chance of speaking to him.
Is that the guy with the...
Who wrote Doors. The God Complex, yes.
Yeah, The Doors.
And he also wrote Vampires in Venice.
No!
And he wrote one of my favourite stories from, what was that called? School Reunion.
Did he?
Sarah Jane. Yeah.
Did he?
Toby Whithouse wrote those stories. Yes.
He wrote Jane.
No, he wrote School Reunion.
You know School Reunion, right? Did Russell T Davies tell him to bring back Sarah Jane? Or did
You'd
he just
have
do
to
it?
Read Russell T Davies' book, The Writer's Tale? I don't know.
No, but did he
well, that's a question.
Did he?
You could have asked him if you couldn't have been bothered to actually join in on the interview.
Well, ask him then.
You were actually in the room, weren't you? You were lounging on the settee whilst I was talking to Toby Whithouse. You were. You were there. I can remember you snoring. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, but can you ask him that for me?
No, I'm not interviewing Toby Whitehouse.
I don't care. Can you ask him? I want to know, did Russell T Davies tell him a bit about Sarah Jane, or was it just his whole idea?
Oh, I might be able to ask him. He might, if he just happens to be on Facebook in a minute when I'm finished doing this piece. Yeah, I then went on to say, we are moving forward, but I do like nostalgia.
Richard, you know Fraser Hines? Yes. Is he actually Scottish?
I don't know.
So does he have to put on a Scottish accent?
He puts on a Scottish accent. He may well be Scottish, I don't know. But he has.
Can you ask him to do a Scottish accent for me?
He has got a Scottish name.
Does he? Fraser Hines. You know when you said Fraser Hines, I thought you meant the guy who owns Hines, like Hines.
Yeah, that's Hines. It's a Scottish name. He's Hines, H-I-N-E-S.
Not yeah, but Hines,
H-E-I-N-Z-E.
Hines and Hines are exactly the same. Yeah, they just pronounced it differently, but they're spelled the same.
Whatever, anyway. Richard Cox said, true, the replays could be spread over a series of future podcasts. I said podcast, and I meant podcasts. Then I said, I already have something in the pipeline, but I doubt that will be included in episode 100, and that remains to be the case. I do have something in the pipeline. Christopher Lee Gallagher, can you stop texting?
My phone.
You're not actually listening to me when you're texting, are you?
Sorry, what?
Christopher Lee Gallagher said, Alicia breaking wind upon the mention of the Colton Collective during the chart rundown once was funny, although I'm sure it was just a coincidence. So you can reveal now. Did you deliberately break wind during the mention of the Colton Collective?
Girls don't fart.
What was that noise you just made a few moments ago then?
Girls don't fart.
What do they do then? Break wind?
They don't break wind.
Mm. Ian Kirk says, I have just recorded. Oh, that's got nothing. That's just he sent. He just said about. He sent feedback in for the show. I'll skip that one. Mary Blitzlang said, "Ian, what program do you use to send your audio feedback?"
Hey, Dad.
Yes, I know. Alistair painted that. Another thing that has nothing to do with what I asked. Let me second Mr. Culp's suggestion. I really enjoyed that skit your wife did. Thank you. And then she goes on to say, "I thought she was hilarious." Yeah, but it's the material she was actually acting out that I wrote. It's the, surely the hilarious side of it. What do you think, Magic? Okay, fine. Philip W. Cerner, that's Dr. Phil to you and me, said, can you send me a hate messages by Thursday if I don't have the bit about your theme done? Well, he has done the bit about our theme, so we'll let him off that one. I'm not going to read that bit. Oh, and that's about it, really. Oh, hang on. Chuck Gears, and thank you, Chuck, you know why, again, said, my favourite bit was the time you quizzed Isabella about which doctor was which by pulling the action figures out of a bag.
She's got a pillowcase with some items in it. Oh, who's that?
Doctor.
Ah, right, OK, you got that one. That was the... Which one is that one, Alicia?
Christopher Eccleston.
Right, then, so I'll put your hand in again. I'll do it a bit quicker. Who's that? Who is it? Do you know?
A monster.
A monster. Who is it, Alicia?
William Hartnell.
And also Amy falling down into the ground. Because you've just drifted off by reading the Doctor Who storybook, and you haven't been listening to what I say, how are you supposed to answer my questions if you're not paying attention?
You haven't asked me any questions. I just put to you. Yeah, but
that he said, this is Chuck Gears, that his favourite bit was the time I asked Isabella about which doctor was which by pulling the action figures out of a bag.
I remember that.
And that actually initiated the creation of the first ever podcast spin-off game, computer game called Where is the Colin Baker? Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
The
game? Because
of Isabella. Because when
we lost Colin Baker.
Lost Colin Baker, and that's how that game came about. So there you go. That was all the stuff that's to do with our 100th episode. Had a few congratulations come through, but not as many as I hoped.
Do you know? By the time I'm going to write this out for myself. By the time I'm 17, we'll be at 200.
You reckon we're going to go on that long, dear?
Well, we have Isabella.
True, yes.
Wait, When I'm 17, how old is Bella will be?
She better work
eight.
That one out.
Eight?
Nine.
Eight.
Nine.
Eight.
You were eight when she was born. So try adding eight on... Well, you were nearly nine, but you were right then.
Yeah, but I'll be nearly 18.
Eh?
I'll be nearly 18. She'll be nearly nine.
Eh? When you're 17.
Yeah, no, okay.
She'll be eight.
No, wait. Thinking about it, because this is our 100th episode.
This is quite tricky for you.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, in nearly 2 years' time, well, not really two, yeah. Well, this time,
spit
oh my
out.
God, I will be 17.
Correct.
Nearly yes. 18, and Isabella will be eight, nearly nine.
Well, let's think. If things go to form...
Because I'm 14 at the moment, nearly 50.
It's 1¾ years since we began the podcast. So in 1¾ years' time...
I'll be 17.
No, let's see where we are. We'll be in the year. Well, 1 year will be February 2013. And then 3/4 of the year will be Christmas 2013. So it's not that far, is it? Hang on, let's get that right. 1 year. Yeah, 2013.
Damn it, I'll be 16.
So you won't be that much older, will you?
Be 16.
You'll be one birthday. Yeah, two more birthdays, so you'll be 15, 16.
Oh my god. I just realised something. Oh
god, that's another first. This is an amazing show.
I know. I'm 2013. By the time the 200th episode comes round, I would have my GCSE results and I would have started college. Why are you laughing? You're not coming with me though for my GCSE results. I've already decided that. You're not coming with me.
Why not?
Because I know what you're going to say. I'd be a disappointment.
Anyway, lots of Doctor Who fans currently are at the best Doctor Who convention in the world. That's Gallifrey 220, whatever it is, in LA. And lots of Doctor Who podcasters there. So I'm hoping that means that there's going to be I haven't done the shouts. There's going to be less Doctor Who podcasts out this week, which will enable us to stay quite high up the charts.
Yeah, that doesn't count, does it?
It does, I'm afraid, yes.
You know these stories in here? They're quite scary.
They're written by Doctor Who, proper Doctor Who writers.
But they're scary.
Now, there was something I saw on Facebook. Somebody... saw Matt Smith and Karen Gillan at a railway station in London. Matt Smith was disguised, Karen Gillan not so successful, on their way to Cardiff to start filming the new series of Doctor Who tomorrow. Isn't that interesting? Because
that's cool.
So we do episode 100, so we'll always remember that. They started filming series 7 the day we did episode 100.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought you'd find that interesting. Yeah, Doctor Who filming. Starts very, very soon.
Hey, look at that.
I don't really want it. It's an audio presentation. You can't really look at stuff like that, Alicia.
Okay.
Now, I thought I might try and crack along with some Doctor Who news. Do you think that? Oh, good grief. Pordy Byrne has just come on Facebook and said, Alon Z. Now, the trouble is, I've just quitted out of Facebook, so if you're listening, Pordy, sorry about that. Can you get off your phone for once?
It's not too layered.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I'm just a bit disappointed you can't think of anything during all the 100
episodes. Okay, let me have a think then. Wait. Go back into...
The trouble is you thinking can put a great strain
no,
on your
No, it can't. My brain is not that tiny. Look how big my brain is.
Why are you holding your two fists together?
That's how big your brain is.
Is it? Oh, I've got a massive brain then, haven't I?
Yeah. So if you hold your two fists together, that's how big your brain is.
Yeah, but the trouble is, the size of brain doesn't necessarily equate to how well the brain functions.
Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't.
It does. Because I've got a small brain, so I'm dumb. So let me think about it. Oh.
You just said you've got a small brain, and then you asked me to let you think about it.
Yes. Oh god.
Karen Gillan is joining the official Doctor Who convention lineup. That one that costs £99 a person. Which is a bit frustrating because I can't go to it.
I just thought about it. Karen Gillan and Matt Smith got on a public train.
Toby Whithouse, who we were talking about earlier on, is writing one of
Rory and Amy's last Doctor Who stories for Series 7, or has written it. So that's quite interesting as well, is it not? So maybe we'll get him back on the show.
Yeah!
After then. I'm sure he will do. He's my friend on Facebook.
So oh, fingers crossed. Lucky.
Not a lot of Doctor Who news, actually. Casting news. Don't recognise him. Some Spanish bloke's going to be...
I see. I might know him.
No, some Spanish bloke.
Let me see.
Rob Cavazos.
No, I don't... Oh, no, I can't...
Oh, right, there's a picture of him. Rob Cavazos.
I recognise him.
You do you? Right, okay. He's going to be in the new series.
There's going to be a Spanish story, then.
Yeah, apparently they are travelling abroad, but I can't remember where they were travelling. But there was a rumour. Oh, maybe it was Australia. Maybe they were.
Really?
It's a rumour. I don't know if it's actually happening.
Oh my god, I love Australia accents.
No, can't see any interest in the Voila. Realm of news. So.
Did I hear my dog's being impassioned? And Scooby-Doo impassion.
Ronnie Corbett received his CBE from the Queen.
I know.
Now, Ronnie Corbett's connection with Doctor Who is he was in a special episode of Sarah Jane Adventures.
I know.
Yeah, bet. You know, do you?
Yeah, I do.
And of course, Upstairs Downstairs started tonight with Alex Kingston in it. But we haven't seen it yet.
Now so. I've got to watch it.
Now, the item... Sit down. There's an item on eBay, which... it's got the most money up. Basically, it's worth the most, according to whoever's put it on there. For a change, it's not something boring. It's actually canine full-size screen used prop. £3,500. Would you like a real proper canine for £3,500?
Let's have a look.
There it is. There, look.
Yeah.
It's a real one.
If I was a millionaire, I probably would.
Really?
That's amazing. Yes. Just sort of lulls of seeing what magic and star's reaction to it will be.
What are you? Will you? Can you just put it on silent?
No, I can't.
But the item that's number one as far as having bids against it is Doctor Who original screen prop of something like that. And I need to click on it because I can't see what it says. Oh, Battlefield. It's a costume from Battlefield. Oh, it's quite good. It's like a knight costume, no. A real knight costume from Battlefield. And that has actually got 12 bids against it. How much do you reckon for, Alicia? So far in the auction, it's going for 12 bids. Doctor Who costume prop.
500.
£920 plus £4 postage.
Oh.
Yeah. So obviously people are starting to squander, I mean spend money on Doctor Who again on eBay.
Why?
Because Doctor Who's brilliant. The second item...
Maybe these people are bidding because there's loads of lottery winners happening at the moment. There is.
You reckon?
There is.
Lottery. Those gothy lottery winners reckon they were Doctor Who fans then.
Yeah.
Possible. Doctor Who Danbury Mint pewter chess set, 38 pieces. That is actually... We had one of them. They were trying to sell it for over £3,000, but this one's going for £255. Two bids against that, with £30 postage. Not something I'd really want. Can you stop texting in the middle of the... This is episode 100. Could you have not just relented from it just for half an hour?
No, it's episode 100, so I'm doing special 100 clicks for you.
Ridiculous. And, ooh, full-size Cyberman prop costume. That looks like the model of the room guard that you had. Remember? Apparently this is a full-size one-on-one Cyberman prop costume. Four bids at £205.
That would freak me out if I had that in my room.
£205. Oh, that's quite nice. Peter, it's not a no bids against it. Peter Davison costume. £200. Yeah. Peter Davison costume. I'd like that, but I don't think I'd like to pay £200 for it. So, have you got over the disappointment of having certain people added to the podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Can you remember the other
just
people?
Just the two on, of
let's
us.
Let's see if you can remember the other people.
It can make it if we try. Just the two of
us. Who are the other people on the show then? Can you remember? That record the show with me on Mondays when you're at school.
Oh, Kirby, Ben, Reese, Robert.
Well done. There's nobody else. Magic Star.
Magic Star. And maybe Isabella.
No, she's... At school as well. And she generally doesn't actually want to record anything. Well, I want to say, Alicia, thank you so much for being with me on most of the 100 shows. And
I have been on all of them.
No, you haven't.
Yeah, because you kicked me off at the moment.
I never kicked you off.
You kicked me off. You kicked me off.
I sin binned
you. Kicked me off.
I sin binned
you. Kicked me off.
Stop arguing.
Shush. You kicked me off.
I sin binned you.
You kicked me off.
Oh, and quite deservedly so. That's the point.
That's a bit rude.
No, it's not. Magic, what do you reckon? What do you reckon? Do you think Alicia's silly?
Stop antagonising the dogs. They're just saying a big word.
Yeah, I think it is. Do you like our listeners?
Shut up! He wants to sleep! Leave him alone!
He's just talking to listeners.
Oh, yay!
It's very important to this show, aren't you, Magic? But you're a legend, aren't you, around the whole of the United States of America, aren't you, Magic? No podcast would be a podcast without Magic going. Anyway, Alicia, I take it you're going to be on a few of the next 100 shows.
Well, mostly all of them, if I haven't got GCSEs so far.
Here we go.
So you'd rather me fail my GCSEs, but be on a podcast.
And then you see, lie down, my friend's here, you're on the floor. You mean if you're not doing GCSEs, gallivanting or playing on your phone or making pointless phone calls to girls? Or cuddly magic?
You forgot about meeting up with boys as well.
Eh?
You forgot about meeting up with boys as well.
Oh, whatever. What do you think? Just looking at me waiting for the next attack.
You stop attacking the dog.
Not attacking him. He's looking at how he sat there with his off his paws out,
he
ready
wants
for
a tickle.
Another.
It was a tickle.
He
tickled him.
Tickle, baby boy. Yo. Hang on, if I rough him up, he'd do one of his famous 20 megabyte podcast shakes. So I'll just give you a quick rub. Hang on, knock him off the settee. Oh, don't. All right, leave him alone. Let go. Get off me. Knock the bloody microphone off, you twonk. Because you knocked the microphone off, we missed the blimmin' the famous 20 megabyte podcast shake. Thanks for that, Alicia. Can you stop rolling around on the floor? Right, here we go. Move over the way. That's good. Have another go. Here we go. I'll rough it up a little bit. Stop breaking wind. Right, be quiet. Be quiet! Be quiet. This takes a lot of planning. Shush. Here we go. Go on, Magic. It's all yours. Go on. Do the shake. Shush! Do the shake. Come on. Go on. There we are. It's the famous 20 megabyte podcast magic ear flap. Anyway, I think we better move on and get on with the show. We've got some guests, or a guest,
so,
at least.
So
what?
You don't care about me. You just want to move on?
We'll have to move on, because there's nothing else to talk about. We're not reviewing any Doctor Who this week. And you don't talk about
it. I watch Father's Day. I know everything about
that's
Father's
next
Day.
Week. We're doing that next
What's
week.
What's the point? It's not Father's Day.
Actually, Isabella has
Mother's Day soon.
Got a project for school.
Yeah.
Which I shall take a picture of.
Why?
And we'll post it on Facebook.
It's not amazing.
Well, I helped her with it.
It could be better.
I'll take a picture of it, and then the listeners will be able to see what I'm talking about. It's Isabella's school project. Right, there goes a flash. That took it that time. Right, so I'll put that on Facebook, and then you can see Isabella's school project about the planets. Isn't it? It's like an astronomy project. Right, anyway, Alicia, we've got to get going, so, because I've got stuff I need to do. So, thank you, as I said earlier on. Why do you have to have your back to the microphone?
Well, crease it up.
Anyway, thanks for being on the show for the last nearly 100 episodes, and I really hope that you're going to be on a few more to come. And we'll be back as normal.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
next.
You sound so enthusiastic about me, don't you?
Well, you're not interested. You've got your back to the camera.
No, look, now I haven't got my back to the camera, so I'll sound more enthusiastic. Go.
Thank you for being on the last...
No, that sounds
nearly.
Stupid. That Why sounds stupid.
Well, how do you want me to say it?
Talk in your normal voice.
Well, thank you.
No,
well,
not,
let me spit a word.
No! Not in your podcast voice.
I'm not talking in my podcast voice. Let me get my words out. Thank you for being on the last few... I'll just pack it in.
Okay, no, okay, wait. It's literally done. Go.
We have a show to do.
Oh, thanks.
And
I am part of the show, you know.
I know you are. See you next week.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
You stop doing that noise then.
This is the 20 megabyte Dr. Bloody Who podcast. I'm Debbie Pearson, and I'm in control. Now, what's this? Notes for episode 75. Right, delete. Now then, what else can I do? Feedback from Robert Hayes. Delete. Top 30 Dr. Bloody Who podcast. Delete. What's this here? Skype. Delete. That was fun. Now, I might be able to get Adam to do some jobs around the house on Monday morning.
Help! Podcast security protocols compromised. Please state intention.
Putting an end to this stupid bloody podcast.
Halt, or you will be exterminated.
Just try it.
Exterminate! Exterminate! Exterminate!
Right, let's see if there is a Dalek delete button.
Exterminate! Exterminate!
Do you ever get round to actually exterminating?
Well, if you would allow me to finish the sentence. Exterminate!
Deb? Deb? Deb, wake up. You're talking gibberish.
Well, you would know about that, wouldn't you?
What are you dreaming about?
Deleting all your bloody podcast stuff.
Yes, well, I bet you didn't dream about emptying the waste bin. That's always my job. Anyway.
That's a joke.
What happened in the end?
What do you mean?
Well, you screamed out.
I got exterminated, eventually.
And then you woke up. And now we have... Oh, sorry, what's your name again?
Isabella Usilly.
That's a long name. Isabella Usilly. Is that your middle name? What does the U stand for?
Isabella Pearson.
You stand for Isabella Pearson. Anyway, so, have you watched any Doctor Who this week?
No.
Yes, you have. Forgotten already. Watched Doctor Who last Sunday. Do you remember? And what can you remember of it?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? You watched the story last Sunday and...
What was the story?
I think, wasn't it Father's Day?
The church? I think it was about Rose's dad.
Well, yeah, so what do you remember of it then?
I remember it when the doctor was eaten.
That's the only bit you remember?
Yeah, and I remember he comes back.
Why did he come back?
Because when Rose saved the world... He comes back.
When Rose saved the world? So wasn't it Rose's dad that saved the world by getting run over again, when he should have got run over at the beginning, and Rose saved him?
No, and Daddy. It was Rose, you silly.
I don't think it was, you know.
Was,
were you
was,
really
was.
Watching this episode? Well, I don't think you were, because you obviously got that bit completely wrong, haven't you?
I haven't.
Oh dear, is that upsetting you, is it? Because you got it wrong. Is it? Is it upsetting you? Making silly faces doesn't work on audio presentations. So, yes. So, what did you think then of that particular story?
Horrible.
Why is it horrible?
No.
Okay, well, we'll move on to that. You've made a project for school, haven't you? Yes. What is it?
My moons.
Your what?
My moon. You haven't done the rest.
Oh, sorry, where are you going? Yeah, well, I can't do the rest, darling, because it all went wrong. She's got a moon chart, which went wrong because their pictures of the moon didn't quite tally up with what was in the sky. Come here. Come here. This I was talking about.
What?
This. What's this?
A space project.
So what's in it?
Project.
If you can describe it to the listeners.
On it is the sun.
Yeah.
Mercury.
Yeah.
Venus, Earth. Is that Mars?
Yes.
Jupiter, Saturn.
Saturn, Uranus. Uranus.
Mm-hmm. Neptune.
Neptune and Pluto.
Why do you remember that one?
Because I do.
Right, okay. And you've got some other things here that was dug out of... where were these found then, Isabel?
From Alicia's room.
Because Alicia's room got tidied and she chucked away loads of Doctor Who adventure magazines, didn't she? Without even asking me.
And she gave me her book.
And what's that one? What's on the front on that... What book is it, shall we say?
About Doctor Who.
Yeah, what's it called? Can you read it?
The Officer.
Official, yeah.
Official. On
Annual
27.
2007, yes. And what's on the front? Look. See, have you seen the thing?
I like that one.
And then when you turn it, it becomes that. So it goes from, who's that one? That's David, Dr. Nine, Christopher Eccleston. You turn it slightly and then it becomes David Tennant. It's really good, isn't it?
Yeah. So
hopefully you'll look after that, because Alicia obviously never read it, because it was in perfect condition until you got your mitts on it. But you got another one, didn't you? What's the other thing you got?
The other one was about the spider.
It's underneath that pink box. Right, so what's this one then? Can you read it? What it says on the front?
Story book.
Yeah.
2007.
Yeah, and it's got, who's that on the front?
The Doctor.
Number 10.
And Rose.
And it's painted by, the picture is painted by our friend Alistair. Yes. So Doctor Who, sorry about 2007.
And about the Doctor and he touched it.
That's really good. So look after that as well, because that was in perfect condition, wasn't it? Just one more thing to do. What episode of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is this?
I don't know. I don't know.
100. So thank you, Isabella. It's always lovely to have you on the show. Do you want to sing a song or anything like that before you go?
Sing a song.
Go on then. Let's hope it's relevant.
I think it might be about the Doctor.
Go on then.
The Doctor.
Stand up. No.
Let's get underneath.
Right. Come on then.
The Doctor wants to go on the moon. The Doctor wants to go on the moon. He builded the rocket so he could go on the moon. He asked his friends to come on the moon with him. And he had the picnic.
Is that it? Lovely, thank you very much. Right, so see you next time then, Isabella. Thank you.
Bye.
Oh, can you do one thing more thing for the listeners?
Yeah.
Say, Amy fell down to the ground.
Amy fell down to the ground.
And I'm delighted to welcome onto the show our special guest, Mr. Fraser Hines.
Thank you.
Hello. Hello there. Hi.
Hello.
Oh, and
hello,
some other,
hello world.
And some other reprobates as well. So Kirby Bartlett's own, Robert Haynes, Ben Trotter and Rhys Barton.
Right. Hello, where the reprobates though?
Now this is a universal podcast as well, isn't it?
It is.
It
doesn't work when people talk over each other.
We've got listeners on Galcatron, on Optimus 5, all over the universe.
Optimus Prime.
No, Optimus 5, it's not Optimus Prime. Don't be daft, that's not a planet.
Did everybody put their tuxedos on for the 100th show?
Well, yeah.
Yes, of course.
Sorry, doing up my tie now.
I forgot to mention that one to you, Fraser. Sorry about that. We're wearing tuxedos for 100th show.
Oh, no, I'm in my dressing gown.
Dull.
Oh, Fraser.
No, I'm sorry. I let you guys down. I'm in my dressing gown.
Oh, man. I mean, we're all sat here in DJs and, well, obviously Adam's got his lovely party frock on. But apart from that, no.
Is that one of those Noel Coward-style dressing gowns?
No, not as, but no, it's a towel-y one. I just had a, because I'm packing to go to America to do another convention, so that's why I'm, you know, now what do I wear, what do I need, and all that sort of stuff. So
not a dressing gown to America, don't wear a dressing gown.
Well, that's a good thing about you being on this show, because everybody else is at Galley, and we're not.
No, that's why I should have been at Galley, but,
so that means?
It didn't quite work out, so I'll be there next year for the 50th anniversary.
Excellent. I wish I could go, I must admit. Right, I'm thinking,
I wish I could go.
You're the nearest.
Hang on. Hands up who wishes they could go.
Hands
say
up.
Say I.
That works pretty well on a podcast.
I know, so does wearing dressing gowns and tuxedos.
Anyway, right, let's crack on. Reese, I understand, unusually, considering most of the time we've got guests on the show, you haven't got a lot of questions. Have you got a question for Fraser?
No.
I do.
No.
Okay, no, I don't. Yes, I do. Would you like me to start?
That might be a good idea.
What? You're all surprised.
That's a yes.
Yes, okay. Who or what inspired you to become an actor?
When I was about 7 years old, living in Harrogate, Yorkshire, and I used to go to a dancing school every Saturday, and one year she put on a show, and I did this Maurice Chevalier impression, and I had this terrible itchy suit on, and I can't stand itchy stuff next to my skin, so I danced very stiff-legged, and the newspaper said, Fraser Hines had the Maurice Chevalier stiff-legged walk. He stopped the show with his impersonation. And somebody at Corona School in London saw the newspaper and invited me to go down an audition to go to Corona School. And I went there, and I've been an actor ever since.
So how did you get the Doctor Who role, the part, I should say?
Well, that was because Sean Sutton, who I'd worked with in television in Hunting Tower, The Silver Sword, Run to Earth, Cinderella, I'd done lots of TV for him. He was head of children's TV at the time, and when the part of Jamie came up, I think he said to Innes Loy, well, you know, use Fraser. He's Scottish. He's born in Yorkshire, but he's, you know, his mother's Scottish. He does a lovely Scottish accent. And so I didn't audition. I just got this script. My agent just rang and said, oh, darling, they want you to do Doctor Who. It's only for four episodes, The Highlanders, and you're playing this Scottish boy. And that was it. And, of course, I did it, but what I didn't realise at the time that the BBC had an option on my contract if the character took off. They had a feeling that, you know, Jamie would take off with the character, but my agent didn't tell me in case I screwed it up. Thinking, oh God, I could get a year's work out of this. I've got to be good. Got to be good. I just thought I was going in for four episodes.
Excellent.
And Sean Sutton, you know, so it was Sean Sutton who I owe a lot of my career to. He started me off in television.
So, would you have had anything on if you hadn't continued on in Doctor Who? Was there anything come around the corner? Or?
No, it was just another job. And also, when I did Doctor Who, it was just a children's show, really. Mm. Saturday 5:15, you know, after the racing results, there was Doctor Who, and then there was the two Ronnies or whatever show was going on. You know, that was it. But, of course, Jamie, see, because I was playing a Highlander, we all used the Highland accents. And once I realised I was going to, you know, be a bit long in the TARDIS, I thought, the Highland accent is not quite an emotive accent, you know. Oh, look at the size of that monster. Let us run for our life. It's not kind of dramatic. So I kind of watered it down into what I do, what I call my normal sort of television Scottish.
Which worked very well. Because obviously the first few stories, I understand that Jamie wasn't actually supposed to be in them, so you had to like share the lines out, so as Jamie had something to say in them.
That's right, I shared some of Michael Crazy's lines, and that was The Underwater Menace, I think was the second one.
Eight episodes have been recovered from. So
an episode which is fantastic. Yes. Hopefully there's a... But I can never understand, you say, episodes 2 and 5 are missing. You think, why 2 and 5? I could understand 1 and 2, the first two or the last two.
Yeah.
But I thought, in those days, they put this huge tape in a can, rather like a film can, and stuck it in a cupboard somewhere or a warehouse. But how can individual episodes go missing? I thought they were all on one big tape.
Yeah, it is a bit odd that people would have, you know, one episode, maybe, for instance, episode 3 of a series and not 1 and 2, doesn't it?
It was down to the BBC and the hierarchy there deciding that they didn't need to buy any new tapes, and so they would just delete the ones that they already had and re-record onto them.
Yeah.
Which is obviously why we've got, you know, splatterings of episodes of some stories and missing other ones, which, when you think about it, was utterly stupid of them.
Absolutely.
Well, about 4 years ago, I was doing a commentary with Wendy Padbury for, I think it was The Dominators or whatever, and we broke for coffee, and I said, I wonder how much this, you know, our budget was like with David Tennant's budget. I bet he gets £1,200 a minute, you know, and ours was probably £1,200 the whole series. And a guy went away, and he came back with this old sort of file covered in dust and a ribbon, rather like a solicitor's file, blew the dust off it and said, oh, he said, what? Right, Fraser, Ronald Lee Hunt was on £100 an episode because he was the guest star. Patrick was on 80, you were on 40, and they'd kept the paperwork, and they'd thrown the episodes away.
That's just ridiculous, isn't it?
Like typical BBC, keep the paperwork, but throw the shows away.
These episodes are obviously recovered because they're on film, and that's the only hope, isn't it, that people have got these collections and don't realise they've got them.
You know somewhere in the universe, probably more locally in this world, maybe even this country, there's somebody sitting there with his head in his hands every single day who was once head of deletions, sitting there thinking, what did I get rid of?
Mm. Well, Ian Levine, he told me there's a certain lady who was erasing them at the time, and he was saying, no, don't erase them, they could be useful. It's up to me to erase them. She erased all these stories. Mind you, there could be a bloke with a big warehouse and he's releasing an episode at a time and getting a fortune for it.
Hopefully.
Just release one episode at a time.
That'd be better than nothing, wouldn't it?
Yeah. We do hear occasionally of people finding them in their lofts and things, don't they? Ex-BBC employees, or cameramen, as is in that case with that slightly off-topic David Bowie Top of the Pops performance they found just before Christmas that hadn't been seen for 35 years or whatever.
That's
it was.
True.
So there's always hope that...
Bob Monkhouse, wasn't it? Had all those things in his house?
Yeah, he had lots. No, and then somebody in New Zealand, didn't they find at a bring and buy or a car boot sale, found this can of film, and in it was Doctor Who story, one episodes 1, 3, and 5 or something, some story in New Zealand, I think.
Yeah. Kirby, have you got any questions?
What was it like being one of the only two companions who actually had a weapon inside of the temporal grace of the TARDIS?
That's right. I think myself and Leela were the only two that actually ever carried weapons.
Yes,
and I always say at conventions that if I'd known that Leela was going to come and join the TARDIS crew, I'd have stayed, because if you imagine Leela and Jamie, the doctor's tied to a stake and the water's rising and the alligators, and Leela and Jamie will be fighting each other to who's going to rescue the doctor, because we both got the knives. You know, I'll cut the rope. And it, might have rather been nice wrestling with Louis Jameson on the floor.
happen on Big Finish.
But no, we were the only two. Yeah, we were the only two that carried weapons. I mean, the Brigadier carried a gun, but he wasn't a companion. I mean, he was a grown-up. Yeah. We were kind of the young companions. But no, Jamie always had his duck. Always had his duck.
Mm.
Or his skin do.
I think we think the Brigadier is actually a recurring character.
Sorry?
I consider him a companion. He traveled as an artist, so he was a companion as far as I'm concerned.
We have a big debate, Fraser, about recurring characters or companions.
No, he's a recurring character. Companions are somebody who travelled in the TARDIS to each different location, but the Brigadier was always, he was a recurring character, because you had to be a companion. To be a companion, you had to travel in the TARDIS and not know where you're landing next time.
And he did.
He did. The three doctors.
Five doctors, three doctors, and what was the other one? Oh, yeah, Remordian Undead.
Fraser, ignore them. You're right. You're kind of like singing from the same song sheet as me, so in that case, you're 100% right. I've got loads of questions.
Go on then.
Go on then. Right, we'll start with some old Who stuff. That's obviously from the era you're from. Who was your favourite enemy that you fought against?
I think the favourite enemy would have to be the Cybermen, because there was no emotion in their faces. You know, there was just that blank look, those two dots on their eyes and the mouth. And in my day, our Cybermen were silent. Today, you can hear them clumping, clump, clump, clump. You can hear them arriving. But with ours, because they had Wellington boots sprayed silver, they could actually creep up behind you and just tap you on the shoulder.
But
also, they were taller. They were very, very tall.
The good old days now.
Do you find the old style Cybermen more scary than the new ones? I mean, obviously, as you mentioned there, the new ones are more like solid and look like you could do you a bit of damage.
The big one. The new ones are scary too, but I mean, ours were scary as well. But I think the new ones, with modern technology, they're a lot scarier. Except you can hear them coming, clump, 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 clump.
Yeah.
Whereas ours could just slither up behind you. But I think it was the Cybermen, because they were tall as well, very much taller.
What was the favourite story that you appeared in? Because obviously you did 17 episodes, isn't it? So.
Definitely the Highlanders. Because without the Highlanders, I wouldn't be here now talking to you.
That's a fair enough answer. When it comes to doctors who you didn't work with, obviously, you know, you appeared in several episodes after you'd left in 1969. You'd come back and done a couple of the other ones. But
two doctors.
Exactly. Who was your favourite, or who has been your favourite doctor, new or old?
Oh, well, obviously my favourite doctor was Patrick. I'd have to say that. Yeah. Well, not have to say it, but, I, you know, Patrick's favourite doctor because he was a lovely man to work with. Hmm. You could suggest something to him and he wouldn't go, no, I'm the doctor, you know, you're just a companion. He'd say, hey, stop, you know, a rehearsal. Fraser got a marvelous idea, hang on, Fraser, if we do this and this, hey, that's great, let's do that. Whereas I can imagine, without naming names, there's a couple of doctors who would say, no, we're not doing that. That's silly, I'm not doing that. Mm. I'd like to work with Pertwee. I mean, I worked with Colin Baker. Colin and I got on really, really well, Colin Baker. I think he had the right sort of pomposity in a way of Patrick and also getting things wrong. But I'd like to work with Pertwee, you know, because I think we'd have had great fun.
Was there a chance of you working with him in the Three Doctors?
In the Five Doctors. I wasn't mentioned for the Three Doctors. I was mentioned for the Five Doctors. In fact, with the Five Doctors, I should have been in it all the way through.
Yeah.
But Yorkshire TV would not release me to do the Five Doctors. So I rang John Nathan Turner and just said, J&T, I can't do it. He said, well, I want you in it. If you get any days off from filming, just call me. And I rang him and said, I've got next Wednesday, Thursday off. He said, right. And he sent me the script, which had those sort of three lines, Doctor behind you, that was it. Mm. And I went down and did the rehearsal and then went in the studio. And J&T just said, you know, it was just like, I got you and Patrick out of a prop cupboard, wound you up, and would you want to do some more? I said, oh, yeah, I'd love to do some more. So if I'd actually read that first script and thought, I can't be bothered to go to London and go, Doctor, you know, for three lines, I wouldn't have done the Two Doctors. But, you know, it was great fun. I loved working with Patrick again. And, of course, Colin.
Are you a fan of what is generally referred to as New Who? Do you watch the new stuff?
Oh, yes, I do. And I love Matt Smith.
Yeah.
I think he's excellent. You know, he's got a lot of Patrick's mannerisms with the hand. And you know, apart from the bow tie and the tweed, you know, but no, I think he's got a lot of Patrick's mannerisms.
Yeah.
Who's your favourite out of Eccleston, Tennant, and Smith?
Smith.
Yeah.
Because he's current, you know, but no, Matt Smith.
Robert, have you got any questions?
I haven't finished.
Yeah, I know. We'll come back to you in a minute. Okay, then. We're going in for the next half hour. Go on, Robert.
G'day, Fraser.
Where are you
just
from,
wondering,
Robert?
Australia.
No, I know, but what part?
Western Australia.
North, South, East. I know, because I've got a company in Melbourne with my nephew and I. We've got a record label.
Yeah, your record company, yeah. I think at Galley, you were at Galley last year, weren't you?
That's right, yeah, that's correct.
You gave a friend of the show, really, Jeff Walker, some of your cards, your business cards.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Electric Empire, that's our group, and they're a great group. They're number three, I think, in the soul charts. So have a listen to those. Check them out after the podcast or sometime.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So Electric Empire.
It's an Australian group. Anyway, sorry, back to your question, yeah. Now I've got the
I was going to say, that's all right. I'm just going to ask if you could bring back any sort of your missing stories. Which story would you bring back? You're probably going to say the Highlanders.
I'd love to see. That's how it all began for me. I'd love to see what it was like, and also it was a very good story. I mean, it was a very good historical story. But I think I'd bring the Highlanders back because to see. Not what I looked like, but how, because how I was with Patrick. Because if you look at, if you can't see the faceless ones, that's when you can see the relationship between Patrick and I sort of starting, the comedy relationship where I'd go to say something, and he stamps on my foot or nudges me in the ribs. You can see that. So I'd love to see the Highlanders, how it started. Then you can see how we become, you know, this double act.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing I loved about your era was just the relationship between, first of all, I know you weren't with Michael Craze or Annika Wills that long, but, you know, with Victoria, with Debbie and then Wendy, just the relationship between, the three of you at each time was just absolutely brilliant, I thought, and I just loved the comedy stuff, and I'm just so upset that a lot of your stuff is missing.
Yeah. We were a very tactile crew, actually. If you look at a lot of photographs from in magazines, I'm grabbing Patrick, he's grabbing me, I'm grabbing Wendy.
Yeah.
Grabbing, you know, whereas, see some of the other doctors, they don't seem to be touching their companions. You know, not grabbing their companion.
Yeah. But in John Nathan Turner's era, he was very against the doctor sort of doing that. So, you know, during the 80s, they lost a lot of that.
Well, that's quite interesting, but, I mean, isn't it? Yeah. Because when Jamie meets Perry, has had quite a lot of sort of comments, isn't it? Don't you jump on top of her?
Yes. When he's in the...
You better help leader of Jamie King.
In the air ducts, that's right. Yeah, when he's this kind of... But, of course, Peter Moffat, a lovely, lovely man. You know, I suggested this sort of... When Carmen says goodbye to the doctor, she kisses him, and then Jamie goes to get a kiss. He says, oh, Carmen, and she just shakes him by the hand. And I said, well, would it be nice, though, if the very last bit he goes to shake Perry's hand and he kisses Perry? And, of course, Peter Moffat says, oh, yeah, good idea, good idea. So that was kind of the... So he got a kiss from Perry, or rather, Perry got a kiss from Jamie.
Yeah. And Jamie loved the way, Robert sort of mentioned about the comedy. My favourite comedy scene is, you can see, is in Tomb of the Cybermen, is when... You're walking into the tomb and you and the doctor grab hands and they walk along a few paces and you realise it. I love that bit.
Yeah, we didn't rehearse that because we thought Maurice Barry would poo-poo. He said, no, that's silly. So we waited and just did it on the take, and we knew then that unless a camera came in shot or a boom, they would have to retake. We knew they couldn't retake it just for something that we did. So we waited until the take.
But it was so typical of your characters. It brought them to life more, didn't it?
And that's why our hands are slightly high. You know, if you're grabbing something, yeah. We thought, well, we better make sure it's in shot. So we grab each other's hands quite high, you know. But that way, you know, we waited to the take, and then Maurice was a bit annoyed, but we knew he couldn't retake it. But we love little things like that. Yeah. And the beginning of the invasion, where we're supposed to be walking down the street, and then we just see this car. And it says they break into a run, and we said to Dougie Gantrill, can we just start to walk? And then walk a bit faster, and then walk, and then suddenly it's like the Roadrunner. You know, we run with our backs arched, you know, me, like the Roadrunner, you know, chase down the road.
So are there any little comedy scenes like that we can't see because they don't exist, do you remember?
I'd have to watch some episodes because it reminds me of see certain episodes. Yeah, well, obviously getting in the line, look at the size of that thing, Doctor. Yeah, that was... I mean, a lot of people said, yeah, that's in your mind frame. So you watch the beginning of The Seeds of Death when we land in that museum.
Yeah.
And I say, look at the size of that. Yeah, yes, Jamie, it is a demon, isn't it? Yes. When I point to that rocket ship.
I love that you were able to fit that into the two Doctors as well.
But that's right. We put and John Nathan Turner said, no, that's not in the script. It, you know, it says, Jamie says, look at the size of the space station. And as Patrick said, no, at the beginning of every story, Jamie always says, look at the size of that thing. Yes, Jamie, it is a big one, isn't it? So we try to get that in every story. You know, we try to slip that in. Because Jamie was a great character.
Oh, he
could ask the questions that the kids sitting at home would ask. He could ask those sort of questions. Hello? My mobile's going off now. Oh. I just have to ignore it.
I've got a question from our Facebook group. That's the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Yeah. Chuck Gears, very good friend of the show. Thank you, Chuck. He says, have you read the new biography of Pat Troughton written by his son?
Yes, I have. Oh, God. I got it and I took it on holiday and I put it on my Facebook saying, ideal holiday reading. Then I put after my book, of course. And it's great reading. I couldn't put the book down and it was lovely because... Patrick never talked about World War II at all, but I ended up with a big pile of photographs of him on his PT boat, you know, his motor torpedo boat. But he's very private about the war.
Yeah.
But that book, and it's lovely, and he said some, lovely things about me, some really kind things, which was, you know, very nice indeed.
Well then, Ben, I know you're on your starter's points.
I am starter for 10.
Go on in.
Which companion would you have liked to have played if you hadn't been cast as Jamie?
Grief, that's a good one.
Ah, right. Which companion?
Female.
Not female. I am not playing Leela.
I think he's getting confused about the kilt.
Yeah. Yes. Actually, nobody's ever asked me that question.
See, I'm special.
I suppose.
That's what your doctor really says.
I think Harry Sullivan would have been good because it was the old school blazer, it was the old navy blazer, yeah, and the flannels. Uh-huh. And he'd spiff up a lip, you know. But come on, doctor, let's get out of it. Yes, I think maybe Harry Sullivan.
No, that would have fitted you, that, you know.
Were you happy with the way that your character of Jamie evolved in through your 3 years on the show?
Oh, yes. I mean, it was lovely the way he evolved, and he didn't become too clever. I mean, it's very easy to suddenly say after six episodes, oh, he now knows about everything. But I kept those kind of Jamie-isms where you could ask, you know, they might be silly questions, but they're proper questions to him.
Yeah.
And I left people, you know, in, I think it was in The Two Doctors when Perry goes, oh, it's just a ruse. And the doctor says, a ruse. And Jamie goes, aye, a ploy. And he thinks he's you know, he's helping the doctor out.
I tell you, it sounds like you dropped in quite a lot of lines yourself into the
script. Oh, yes. And it was nice that I was able to, again, in The Two Doctors, when I'm with Colin Baker and he sees that tube, he sees Dastari in that tube, and then my doctor in the tube. Colin Baker goes, oh, I see. He is me, therefore I am he. And I said, well, who will I be? And I just put it in at rehearsals, and Moffat liked it, and JMT said, yeah, it's the sort of thing that Jamie would say. Yeah. But if you're he and he is he, yeah, well, who will I be? You know, and I think your doctor is worse than my doctor.
What I love, by the way, Fraser, is the fact that every time you do a line as Jamie, you slip back into the accent.
Yes.
Well, but yeah, because it sounds, it's hard not to do, you know, without Scott's accent. You know, when I do the big finish, I go in and the minute they close that little booth, my voice suddenly raises a wee bit like that, and doctor, look out, let's run for it, you know. And then the end of the take, and the voice goes down a bit, you know, and it just comes straight back to me.
You do a very good Patrick Troughton as well, don't you?
Well, people have said so, and I love playing Patrick because I was very fond of the man. You know, we had three of the happiest years of my life working with somebody, so a lot of it rubs off, and sometimes I think he's in the booth with me, so I can't do his accent without doing the hand movements. So.
Yeah.
I can't do him with my hands in my pocket. I have to sort of do all the hand movements.
Because a friend of us at the show and Rhys Parton is Graham Sheridan, who's also very good at doing Jamie and the Doctor impressions.
Oh, really? Oh, right.
Yes, he is.
He does a Doctor Who spoof podcast. What was it called, Rhys?
Professor Howe.
Yeah, Professor Howe, in which we occasionally see the characters of the Doctor and Jamie. Very good. Right. Worth a listen.
I've got to ask a question about the mind robber.
Another one. Yes.
I've got pages and pages.
Except the exploding TARDIS.
Unlike you, I do research.
Rhys has got pages and pages of questions, haven't you, Rhys?
He's just written one question very big. That's all he's done.
No.
He's still got me, can't get a word in edgeways.
Well,
I know. Someone's yabbering on, aren't you, Ben?
Who is the professional? Thank you.
Me.
So in The Mind Robber.
Yeah.
Obviously, you contracted chicken pox during the filming of that.
Yes.
And,
during rehearsals. We did all the pre-filming, and I just, on the Monday morning, I turned up with itching and scratching, and the studio doctor looked as if you got chicken pox. I thought I'd had that. So they sent me home, and it was lucky it was one of those surrealistic stories, that because that suddenly, you know, the writer suddenly had his marvelous idea that the doctor, you know, freeze-framed me and got the face wrong. So I think it would be a normal sort of story. Jamie would have been knocked on the head and left in a dungeon for about a week and then come back again.
It's quite integral to the plot, obviously, though, so they needed to keep the character in there. It was Hamish Wilson?
Hamish Wilson.
He did a good job, didn't he?
Did you know him, of him, before he took your role? And what did you think when you actually saw him playing the role?
Rougher Scottish accent than Jamie. Yeah. He was more Glasgow. Yeah. See you, Jamie. A bit like that, where Jamie was kind of not as rough. Not as rough.
Was he actually more Scottish? Refined. With the name of
Jamie. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, very Scottish, yeah.
I looked and I thought maybe Welsh, maybe no, of course. what did you think when you saw it back, when you saw it, the completed story and him being you, effectively?
Oh, it's very strange. It's strange to see somebody playing your part. It's very strange, but it was just a necessity, you know. But no, he did it great.
I have to ask, because obviously at the beginning of episode two, which is the episode we're talking about, you actually are there. You do that open a bit where he sort of goes to attack the white robot,
yeah.
And then it's a cardboard cutout. So yeah. I think you were able to do that scene, but you weren't very well at that stage. Would that be right?
No. What would happen? We would have done that the following week when I was better.
Oh, the following week. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'd have filmed the insert.
Yeah. Magical television, Adam.
Oh, no, I didn't think they did it like that in those days. I do apologise. I thought it was filmed week by week.
We did, but if something happened, we could go and film on a Sunday, you know, and go out to some chalk pit, film for another story on the Sunday, and back into rehearsals, back to the story you're working on.
Yeah. They made the cardboard cutout that next week as well?
they had the cardboard cutout. They kept it, yeah, and then Patrick put the face back together again, and there I was. In fact, I had that cardboard cutout for about a year afterwards. I took it home with me. I had lots of props. I had a little wooden Yeti and space age glasses. And as you move house, you think, why am I moving all this box of stuff around? So I just sort of threw it away. But that Yeti would have been worth about 10 grand nowadays. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
eBay.
An ingenious way of getting round an illness like that.
Yeah.
Just brilliantly. Yeah. Quick written, I suppose.
Quick thinking by the writer and director, yeah.
Absolutely. How long were you off for? I mean, obviously it was two episodes on screen, so was that 2 weeks or just a week that you were laid off?
Just a week, no, just a week. I did the rehearsal, and then I was just off for that week, and then I went back to the following week, and so I think I only missed an episode. Hmm. I think I was only out of an episode.
Yeah.
That's right. Go on, Louis, see if you can get one of your questions out.
I actually have some questions from some friends on Facebook, and the first one is, what is your highlight of filming the two Doctors?
I was working with Patrick again. Working with Patrick, we had, it was just great fun, like nothing had happened over after 16, just like after 16 years, we were back, you know, we'd been 16 minutes apart.
Mm.
And of course, filming, abroad, we actually went abroad. We were supposed to go to New Orleans, and we were all looking forward to New Orleans, and then the Americans pulled the money out, so... It was that was a disappointment, but we went to Seville, and we had some fantastic time. But we all got on so well in Seville that, in actual fact, Peter Moffat said, "We've finished all the exteriors. I have no more to film, and we've got 2 days left. You know, the hotel's booked, the flights are booked. So, in actual fact, he took scenes that were meant for the studio and put them outside. So we were ahead of schedule, which is unheard of. Normally, you know, on location filming, you get behind schedule." But because everybody was, you know, word perfect and everything was fantastic. We just, you know, he plucked scenes that was great because they would have been in the studio. But no, we were able to film outside.
Excellent. We'll have a question on from the 20 Megabyte Podcast group from Jeff Cyberleader Waddell. He says, have you got any Scottish blood? Which is obviously
yes. I'm very proud of my Scottish heritage. My mother was Scottish. And, of course, I breed horses, so... Whenever you have a horse, a foal, but born, you always take it from the dam side, you know, not the stallion. So, yeah. I'm when Scotland are playing England at rugby or football, I'm always rooting for Scotland.
Really?
Oh yes, I'm very proud of my Scottish heritage.
I'm quite pleased there's no cricket on this week to distract Ben.
No, actually, there is cricket.
There is cricket.
Australia did well, didn't they?
Yeah, I was watching cricket last night.
Oh no.
New Zealand.
And they got rid of Ricky Ponting as well. Yay.
Yes. Yes, because he's only scored 8 runs in the last 5 matches.
No, 7. He only got
moving
7.
On. Reese and I are going, oh no, sports again.
No, I was watching the England ladies against New Zealand ladies at cricket.
Oh,
that's what I was watching yesterday.
Well, that was on at 3 in the morning or something ridiculous, wasn't it?
No, half past 7 at night.
Was it?
It was half past 7. Maybe it's a replay. But I watched the first half, and then I got friends in the house, weekend guests, and they didn't want to watch it anymore, so I've recorded it. So after this podcast, I'm going to watch it before I go away.
Oh, well, I won't tell you the result then. you're a big cricket fan then, are you?
Oh, yeah, I play cricket every year. I've been playing cricket for 40 years now, and I love it. Every summer I play for the Bunburys, the Lord's Taverners, and the Emmerdale team. So I play about 22, 23 games a year.
That's a real bowler.
I'm a spin bowler.
Oh, are you really?
Off brakes and leg brakes, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I bet you're a fast bowler, aren't you, Ben? Because you're quite tall, aren't you?
But if you imagine someone the size of Russell, what's his name, who was on the dancing programme last year, Russell Grant, him running in and trying to bowl, that's nothing like me. No, I'm spelled...
But Russell Grant's in the same team as us, but we use him as a heavy roller.
And all of this is just going.
That's what it might be. Oh, yeah.
Yes, I used to be a very fast bowler. I used to steam in at almost 7 or 8 miles an hour. Anyway, we'll leave the cricket behind. I want to find out actually is what did you think of your exit story from Doctor Who? Because obviously, the big things of a Doctor Who companion when they join. Their major one or two stories normally as they're the companion, and then when they're leaving. Did you decide to leave? Were you told it's time to go?
No, it's my agent said, darling, you've done three years of television, you must do films now. And Patrick's wife was saying, you're much better than children's television, you should be doing more drama on television, you must leave. And I always say, him and I didn't have those two women mithering us and nagging in our ears, we'd still be there now.
You never I've got one that does that. Can you stop doing podcasting? That's what she keeps saying.
Sorry?
I've got one that does that, mithering me about stopping podcasting.
But, we were having such good fun, we were enjoying it. We'd work hard, have a summer holiday, work hard, Christmas holiday. We were having a ball and nobody fell out. There was never once did you try to work thinking, oh, I hope so-and-so's in a good mood today. I hope she hasn't done that. I hope he had. Everybody, it was a joy to go to work. And we were just having so much fun. We just did not want to leave. So in the end, when we left, obviously the War Games was very, very sad.
Yeah.
People said, oh, what a pity your memory was erased. You could never go back. And I said, but
it wasn't,
no. No, you watched the War Games. And the Time Lord says, Patrick says, will they forget me? And they say, they'll remember their first adventure with you. Mm. Now, my first adventure was the Highlanders, and I got into the TARDIS. Yeah. So I still remember the TARDIS.
Ah, well, that's the thing. Because
remember Victoria or... What?
Sorry?
No, this is going to say you wouldn't remember Victoria or... what was Wendy's character?
I can't remember. Zoe. No, exactly. So I'd remember the Doctor.
Yes.
But obviously,
the way the two doctors fits into this storyline is always a matter of contention, isn't it, amongst fans?
The two doctors starts with Patrick going, Victoria wants to stay and go to college. It's pre-Zoe.
Right.
Yeah.
And of course, but there's mention of the Time Lords, which weren't mentioned until the War Games, which is the thing that tries to throw people into the Series 6B. That's not true, fans, for you.
Have you got a question? That's Kirby.
Have you got a question, romantic. Kirby?
No, not right now.
Oh, right.
Why's my question already been answered?
Kirby, think of a question, because time's slipping by. You've got to think of a question.
Yeah. Well, I've got a question from Chuck Gears from our Facebook group. He says, well, there's two questions. One, do you own a kilt? And two, do you ever read your own Wikipedia page?
Yeah, I own a kilt because when I go to American conventions, I do a show now called Time Traveling Scott, where I show clips of the show, and I come on as Jamie, and then Jamie doesn't come on now, so I come on as Fraser dressed as Jamie. And I'm very proud of the kilt and the heritage. And what was the second question?
Do you ever read your own Wikipedia page?
No. Somebody show me IMBD or IBA or something like that.
Yeah.
But no, there's a couple of things on Wikipedia that I said, no, that's wrong. I tried to get it erased. And then somebody said, somebody erased it for me. Then Wikipedia put it back on again. You should put it on Wikipedia, not some stranger who wants to add things or
whatever. That's right.
So that's interesting that that your page got deleted or taken down, because my page, because I once was a semi-small DJ from South England, and I had a Wikipedia page, and it got taken down, and no one bothered putting it back up.
I'll do that right now.
I really wouldn't bother. Ben currently sits around the house in his pants. It's not going to say a lot.
And then post pictures of it on Facebook. Anyway, Reese, have you got any more questions?
if you were asked to come back for the 50th anniversary, would you be interested in coming back as Jamie or maybe another character?
I'd love to come back as Jamie because I think the fans, in particular, would love Jamie to come back because, after all, he is the longest running companion, Guinness Book of Records, etc., etc. No, I'd love to come back as Jamie. And I, you know, blowing my own trumpet, I've still got a figure for the kilt. I've still got my own hair. So if I was kind of, you know, balding and with a pot beer belly and all that, I'd say, well, no, it does not look right in a kilt. But no, I still look all right in a kilt. No, I'd love to come back as Jamie, obviously. But if not, you know, if Stephen Moffat rang up, well, would you, as Patrick can't come back, you know, do you want to don a Beetle wig and pretend to be Patrick? I'll come back as Patrick.
I was wondering whether I should ask that. But answered that for me.
Yeah, a good question. No, good question.
We had Louise Jameson on a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it came from Sylvester McCoy, this theory, actually, who makes some cracking crisps, by the way, if you ever get a little bit peckish. She floated the idea that some of the old companions, instead of coming back as the old companion, could kind of like come back in a different guise just to kind of get the actors back in for the 50th anniversary. Would that be something that appealed to you? If they said, you know, you could come back and be... another character's dad.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, because I'd like to be in whatever character. Yeah, of course, because it's something very near to my heart.
Would that be an idea that, you know, from your knowledge of Doctor and obviously knowing other people who have worked in it over the years, would that be something that might be a bit popular with them, or would you kind of like think that people would rather come back as their own character? Oh, excuse me.
I think. See, Katie Manning's already come back in the Sarah Jane Adventures as her
Joe Grant.
And that was so great.
It does work, bringing them back.
Well, I think it would be a fantastic way, because obviously in the 50th anniversary thing, you can't bring all these old characters back, but you could bring all the actors back to play different roles, and that would be a brilliant way, a nod to the old actors and to the fans as well.
Yeah, I take your point.
One more question
Something
I've got
else.
To ask.
Yeah.
That I ask everyone who's been involved with Doctor Who. Stephen Moffat or Russell T. Davis?
What?
Which one?
Whose work do you prefer?
I must say, I didn't see a lot of Russell T. Davis's work at all, because I was doing a lot of theatre at the time. So you're in your dressing room, and I don't like television in my dressing room. I'm there to do the show, and there's nothing worse than somebody's watching TV, and you say, well, you're about to go on stage, you know, or you just get into an exciting bit, then you've got to go. So, but I've seen most of Stephen Moffat's, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Did you notice during the second series of the new Doctor Who that in the episode Tooth and Claw, the Doctor introduced himself to Queen Victoria as James McCrimmon?
He did. He said, "Hello, James Robert McCrimmon." I saw it. I thought, that was nice. That was lovely. That, yeah.
So anybody got any...
Adam,
yes?
If you have a look on the podcast page, there's a few more questions.
Yeah, I've seen one from Robert Haynes, but that's you, Robert. What does...
That was you.
There are two questions like that.
Yeah.
Just ask it.
Oh, Robert from Australia, also on the podcast at the moment, said...
I'm not going to tie his kangaroo down.
What do you think of Wendy Padbury's scene on the TARDIS in the mind, Robert, when she's wearing that cat suit, you know, and the console spinning away on? And
I claim the Fifth Amendment.
Because you were there for that scene.
Page, some people don't.
A fantastic shot.
And
Wendy still looks good today. She still looks exactly the same. She could still fit that costume.
Yeah. And there's a Facebook page devoted to that, actually.
I bet there is.
I'm a co-administrator on it.
I bet you are.
I bet it's your screensaver on your computer.
Are there any colour shots of it? Okay. Anyway, let's move away from Wendy Padbury.
There are colour shots of it, yeah.
Thank you.
Not that I've looked.
That's rather throwing me sideways. Reese.
Right. I've been thrown too. Kirby.
Ah. Okay. We bowled Risa Yorker then.
Well, no, see, the thing is, all this lot, I've got to explain, you see, because they're all like amateurs, whereas, as I said, I've worked in radio for 14 years, so I know how to pluck a question out of the air. And the question I'm currently plucking out of the air is going to be... Why did it take you so long to get involved with the big Finnish audio production books?
Well, it wasn't for the want of trying, and I kept saying to Gary Russell when he was in charge of Big Finish, Gary, I must be the only Doctor Who person. He said, oh, no, I don't like mixing companions. I said, but I could work with Colin Baker because I met him in The Two Doctors. I could do, no, I don't like mixing companions.
I think we're going to have an edit there in the podcast.
Yeah. Yes.
This would never have happened on my radio show.
About four.
Did you ever take your mobile into your radio show?
No, you can't cancel the call. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah.
Are you sure now? Can we carry on now? Do you mind?
Sorry about that.
Personal life will get in the way.
Okay, right. Where were we?
I don't know. Where were we?
Big Finish,
that's it, yes.
Oh, yeah. So, then I was saying, funny, the minute Gary Russell left, I got a phone call to come and do, but I don't think Gary dislikes me. He just didn't like mixing companions around. So, but the minute he left, I got a phone call from David Richardson saying, "Would he like to come and do?" I said, "Would I like to?" I said, "I've been trying to do it for the last 4 years." So, I did the first one, the Helicon Prime. Then I did that, and about 18 months later, I thought, I still haven't heard. It must have been rubbish. Then I got a phone call. Would you like to do another one? I said, "Yeah." And then I've done about 7 or 8 now. We worked out the other day. And the latest one out now is the Salation Gambit, which is great fun, except that I play all the cast except Polly, because Annika didn't play herself. But I play the Salations, Jamie, Doctor, the bank manager, and some kind of Lady Bracknell character.
I have to ask you about Annika Wills. Mm. There are other podcasters who pronounce her name Anique Wills.
No, it's Annika.
Why do I call her Anique? No, I always thought it was Annika. I've listened to her audiobook, in which she calls herself Annika, so it does rather make me wonder why they call... They insist on calling her Anique.
Yeah, because her name ends in an E, not an A. That's why they...
Yes. Even as an American, I knew it was how it was pronounced.
Yeah, exactly.
And how is it pronounced?
Anika.
Annika.
Annika.
Now, I'm talking about audiobooks. Do you like the way I worked my way into that one? Is your book available as an audiobook yet?
Not yet, no. I'm tempted to do it.
Well, that'd be good.
It's just one company said you'd have to do the whole book, then we'll edit it down. And I thought, well, I better edit it first. Because it'll take a couple of days to record, because it's quite a long book. And of course, you can read a book in a day, but you try and read it out loud in a day.
Yes.
Your voice starts to sort of get very, very tired and husky. Yes.
Well, I look forward to that when it comes out, though, I must admit.
Mm. More questions. Was there anything, or is there anything, that you didn't do in your time in Doctor Who that you wish you had done, and vice versa, is there anything that you did do that you wish you hadn't done?
No, I worked with the. Yeah, I always wanted to work with the Daleks. I've worked with the Daleks, the Ice Warriors, Silent Men. Look, obviously the two or three actresses I'd love to have worked with, and there's nothing. The only one thing I did do in the War Games that I wouldn't do again was riding a horse wearing a kilt. It really rubs your legs.
Yeah.
Very, all the hairs inside your legs get. Although the upside was, on the way home, the makeup girl was rubbing oil into my thighs all the way back to the beach.
Nightmare.
I have to ask you, Fraser. Obviously, we talked about all the good stories, which is obviously quite a few, because. I mean, I immediately, as a Doctor Who fan when I was younger, and obviously I didn't, because I'm not old enough to remember the stories that you were in when they went out, so I obviously had to watch them when they came out on video, etc. And immediately loved yours and Patrick's partnership. It was certainly one of my favourite partnerships. But were there any stories you remember as being, they weren't particularly pleased with, you thought a bit duffers or whatever?
Well, yeah, we wanted to do the...
What?
Nothing in the world can stop me now.
Oh, well, the underwater minutes, that was okay. But I guess on Big Finish, we've got The Prison in Space. That's been released now, which was... I've actually found the script lying at home that we should have done it, actually, with Patrick and Wendy and myself. But I think Peter Bryant at the time was saying, you guys are, you know, there's too much comedy in Doctor Who now. We're going to have a serious story. So he dropped that idea, and we did The Crotons. And I always felt The Crotons was a kind of story that was just kind of found out from nowhere and just kind of added. I mean, the writer will probably, you know, either agree with me or disagree, but I think The Crotons was the story that, you know, I'd like to have done The Prison in Space rather than The Crotons.
Yeah. I quite like The Crotons, actually.
Oh, we used to call it The Croutons, actually.
it's funny you say that, Fraser, because I think, you know, that one of the good things, especially about the new Who stuff, is when they do have a bit more comedy in them. Obviously, Matt Smith added that element in the last couple of years, and David Tennant before that, he had some cracking lines and had some, you know, very, very good comedy bits in it. Obviously, it does need its serious side as well, but do you think that the blend, the mix of comedy and seriousness was right throughout your time in Who?
I think it was right, yes, it was. If it's too serious, it's too serious. But no, I think it was perfectly right.
Yes.
To take a bit of tension off, you know, have a little, you know, and it wasn't comedy as in funny trips and stuff. It was
No.
It was comedy, but... just to relieve the tension, so to speak.
Some of the things you were saying earlier about the kind of like ad-libs you were adding into it, did you kind of watch them back and think, that actually really worked better than what I was told to do in your own mind?
Oh, yes. I think every ad-lib we did was enhanced the show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rather than enhanced ourselves or just a gag for ourselves. No, it was anything that was put in was for the show, not just for our own pleasure. You know, we weren't doing that. We were doing it for as a character. The character would do this or the character would say that.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, after you've played a character for so long, you kind of like, well, you slip back into him very easily, obviously now, and you obviously have done since you left him. So, you know, that's something that. Obviously, you've drawn on throughout your acting career, I suppose, is it? And the fact that you've had this character in you, Jamie, and you can just slip back into him at any time.
It is, yeah. When I do the Big Finish, it just goes straight into the booth, you know, and he becomes Jamie. That's it.
Do you wish you'd played him for longer on telly?
Oh yes, I was just having such fun. Yes, I'd love to. You know, in fact, when I did the two Doctors, there was only a female companion, Perry. And I'd agreed to go back to Emmerdale. I'd left Emmerdale, and then I got divorced, and my mother had died, and my Emmerdale family said, oh, come back to Emmerdale, darling, come back to Yorkshire. And I agreed to go back. And I regret that, because I think if I'd said to JNT, listen, you've only got the Doctor and Perry, why doesn't Jamie, you know, hide in the TARDIS and come back with him? I think JNT would have said, oh, do you want to stay in and be a companion? Back again. I think that would have worked as well. There'd have been... Colin, Perry, and Jamie.
That would have been great.
Because
he wanted to bring Louise Jameson back, didn't he, to play Leela for a whole series, as Louise was saying on the show a few weeks ago. So I think that would have worked.
Why did you never suggest it, Fraser?
Because I was contracted to go back to Yorkshire TV for Emmerdale. I had a contract. Yeah. So the minute we finished filming The Two Doctors, you know, on a Saturday or whatever, I was back to rehearsing on Monday for the... And that's the program that wouldn't let me do all of the five Doctors. So I wish, you know, I'm sure if I'd suggested, JNT would have said, yeah, all right, we'll just rewrite the scripts and, you know, you say goodbye to Patrick and, or you stow away like Zoe did, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I'll have to ask one more question before I forget to ask it. Web of Fear, there's an absolutely superb scene towards the end when Jamie... sort of thinks he's saving the Doctor, but the Doctor's got a scheme on, and he completely messes it up, and the Doctor has a right go at Jamie in that scene. I actually love that particular part.
I'll have to watch them again.
Sorry, my Doctor's
that's
back.
Only audio.
You still get it from the audio, and also there are pictures, you know, screenshots available that you can marry the two together. The BBC have got on their website the little screenshots from all the stories. You can marry the audio up with the screenshots, so you can get a good idea of what the actual, you know, what he's looking
at. Well, in one of the stories, I like when the Doctor says, Zoe, Jane has got a plan. Let's run.
Can you come on as Patrick Trout next week, actually?
Yes, yeah, Patrick Trout. Pardon? On the
yes.
Come on as Patrick Trout on next week.
No, he's going to America next week.
Oh. I'm going to America. I'm going to Colorado. In fact, that's why I've got a terrible back. I don't know what I've done with it. So I've got to shoot off in a couple of minutes to a physio because I'm not going to sit in a plane for about 9 hours, and I don't want to be sitting down with my gluteus maximus bucket sort of playing havoc. So
Go on, Kirby. Yeah. This is the one we've been waiting for, everybody. Kirby.
I just want the convention next week is.
It's in Colorado Springs. It's called Galaxy Fest.
Okay.
Oh, Galaxy Fest.
It's a brand new one. It's the first, I think it's the first time I've ever done it. There's myself, ooh, David Howe, Samantha Stone, and the authoress, and Claudia Christian.
Ooh, ah, cool. Okay.
Yeah,
too far away for me to get to.
Then I've got Icon in New York at the end of March. I've got Icon at the end of March. Can you get to New York?
No. It's too far.
Oh, too far. Well, on that note, I'll have to say goodbye.
Okay.
On those notes.
I'll have to wait for the clock to stop chiming before I can speak. I just disconnected my microphone, which wouldn't work particularly well on that particular part of the show, but I was just trying to drown out the sound of this clock chiming.
Yeah.
It's a constant problem, this clock, it really is. Apparently everybody likes it. One day it's going to end up...
The clock is one of our co-hosts.
It's going to end up getting thrown across the room.
So you take the batteries out of it?
Oh, no, stop. Well, my wife would break one of my computers if I...
Again.
Anyway,
he
thank you, Fraser.
Podcast, by the way.
Yeah, all right, Adam.
Yeah. I really
appreciate
it. I'll
say goodbye, boys.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much,
Thanks,
Fraser.
Fraser.
Thank
okay,
you. Then.
Enjoy the convention.
Goodbye, world. Goodbye, world.
Goodbye.
Right.
Goodbye. Enjoy the cricket.
Thank you. Bye.
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 You mean bye? You're still here. How would you hang up on
these? See you,
I think that does it.
See you,
Reese. Yeah, right. Yes. Continuing with the show, however, everybody, I hope we all enjoyed that.
Oh, are we continuing?
Yes.
Okay. Ben. Next time, please let us talk.
I made sure Ben let you talk. How many times, Ben, did I say? I can't remember now. How many times did I say?
Who else had an A4 sheet of paper with questions written down on it? Hey?
Reese had one. Well, an A4 sheet.
I was adding more too.
Were you?
Because I posted on Facebook and people were asking questions on there.
Go on, Reese. Ask your questions.
Hey, Fraser. What?
Go on, then. What were you going to ask him?
No.
No, come on. What are you going to ask him?
No.
You're giving it all that.
On the Facebook group, I didn't bother asking him the question from Alan T. Butcher, who said, does he like Ben's new Facebook page, Fraser's Knees?
That.
Yeah, that's currently in development.
I like the fact that he wouldn't understand if I pointed it out that Kirby actually said season 6B.
What?
You said season 6B, Kirby.
Heresy.
Yes, I did. Heresy.
Call him back. Call him back.
No. The reason I said that is that's how it's commonly referred to.
That's
what it is. It's a season.
You've done it now. Anyway, got some audio feedback.
I'm not going to have any other comment about that.
We've got some audio feedback.
Oh, good. Play it.
This is from Mary Lang. Hopefully it'll start up at some point. So I'm doing it on my old broken computer that Deb threw across. I mean, I'm hoping this is going to work.
Hello, 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello.
This is Mary Lang, or Mary Blitz Lang, or get off the planet, whatever. Congratulations on your 100th podcast.
Thank you.
I understand that it, from what you say, that it's been a bumpy ride full of personal and technical difficulties. But here you are today inspiring Doctor Who fans like me. I only discovered your podcast about 6 or 7 months ago, but became addicted very quickly to your unique format. I mean, who else has co-presenters on three continents?
True.
Adam, I don't know what you edit out, but you leave an awful lot in each week, and I'm so glad you do. The sidetracks you guys venture down and the joking sessions are sometimes the best parts.
Ben,
I should know better than to listen to this podcast when I'm driving. Your jokes and the sides often have me laughing so much. One of these days, I'm going to have an accident, and it's all going to be because of you. Robert, I love to hear you laughing at Adam's frustrations and at Ben's jokes. You have an infectious laugh, and you contribute so much Doctor Who background knowledge from the classic era that you send me scrambling to look at whatever of these episodes I can get access to see what you're talking about. And Reese, Stormageddon, you are so passionate, so involved in this and, well, other podcasts, so I hear. And you are so young. You must have a lot of time on your hands. Please keep talking about the music. I really connect with you when you do. Alicia and Isabella, having raised two daughters of my own, I feel your dad's pride coming through as he engages you in talking about Doctor Who and or get you singing. He is so proud of you. I never heard the earlier episodes of the podcast when you, Alicia, you know, were more engaged than you seem to be now. But I'll tell you, it was my youngest daughter who got me to start watching the new Doctor Who, and here I am today, a total fangirl. Kirby, my American compatriot. I guess every group has to have its pedant, and you are it. Too often I think the others talk over you or dismiss what you're saying. Well, I'm listening, and your bits of geek knowledge are not wasted on me. And I'm so glad to hear your American questions of the UK life and TV shows that they all take for granted. I don't know what they're talking about half the time either. Doctor Who in the U.S. is not the big deal it is in England or Australia or maybe even Canada. No special shops here, that I'm aware of that carry the action figures or even the new or classic episodes. Not even the Doctor Who magazine. I hope its popularity keeps growing. And I hope you guys keep podcasting. Congratulations again. Bye-bye.
Bye, Marian. Bye. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mary.
Absolutely. Beautiful voice.
Lovely, yeah.
It reminds me of one of those voices that sometimes, like, you know, ever watched Desperate Housewives? There's a narrator on Desperate Housewives. It very much reminds
Mary
me of that.
Mary Elise Young or whatever.
Yeah. Thank you, Mary. Oh, please send in some more. That was wonderful.
That was lovely, yes.
I have got some more, but I was rather bowled over by that. Bear with me, just waiting for my computer to catch up with itself, because I have more audio feedback.
More, you say?
Yes, indeed. Here it is. This is from a chap called Mr. M.
Who?
Is this working?
For Alicia.
Hello. It's me, Mr. M, in audio form this time. Why am I speaking to you instead of writing very badly in? Because it's your 100th podcast, and I just want to say well done. So, well done. It is a really good podcast, this one, isn't it? Although there are a few people crashing in, a few people crashing into laptop screens. Also, teenagers joining in, dogs, clocks, wives. There's feedback from people like Ian Kirk, and people who slip really badly, spell really badly.
Well done.
Spells really badly. So, congratulations to Adam, Ben, Kirby, Robert, Reese, Alicia, Isabella, Magic, Star, Debbie, Ben's wife, Holly,
Rachel,
stop putting me up.
Bye. My wife's not listening.
Seriously, right? If my wife was Holly Willoughby, then I wouldn't ever have time
Holly
to
Holly Willoughby? I think she's thinking it's Holly Blimmin' Valance, not Holly Willoughby.
I missed the last half of that.
But however,
we missed part of it.
Oh, don't worry. You'll hear it when it's on the show.
If my wife was Holly Willoughby or Holly Valance, I still wouldn't have time for podcasting. I'd be very much more busy.
Yes.
That's what she said.
Thank you, Mr. M. I feel rather honoured. Yes. That we've actually probably, that's the first time, as far as I know, that Mr. M's sending audio feedback to any podcast.
Sorry to burst your bubble, but he sent some to Staggering Stories.
Anyway, I've got some
bubble
audio feedback.
Well and truly burst.
From somebody called...
I don't
want
to know about that.
Audio feedback from somebody called Ian Kirk.
Who?
Captain
Kirkmeister.
Tiny Man Mike podcast.
Sorry.
It was great to have Robert Haynes back on the 99th show.
Yay.
And the way she was there for the whole show and sounding happier than usual, I'm sure she got through the top 30 in record time. To answer her question, surreal means separated from reality.
You'd be right.
Like a podcast about a dog, hairspray, pizza and a musical clock. That might be my first feedback. If you mean saying what I thought of the podcast instead of attempting reviews and puns about Doctor Who.
That's only if you're pretending. 20
Megabyte is my favourite podcast, followed by the Sonic Toolbox and Who is the Man?
Me!
Sorry, Ray.
The audio quality of the 20 Megabyte podcast is excellent.
Is it?
Some other podcasts have dodgy audio. I gather from references to Mega Upload, etc., that the 20 Megabyte podcast is done on Skype, but with each participant recording their own voice, and then Adam piecing it all together afterwards.
I ain't got all time for that nonsense.
I don't bother.
If achieves the fame he deserves, and later needs a title for his autobiography, I suggest Recently. That is spelt starting with R-H-Y-S. Today is President's Day in the USA. Enjoy. I'm sure the UK economy will recover soon. Is that a flying pig? Oh, it's it, Big Ben. No, it's been shot by a unit.
You okay, Ben?
I was telling porkies. Bye for now.
Your secret's out, Ben.
I'm a flying pig, what? Or am I to do... I missed the point there. Am I a flying pig, or am I going to make sure that the UK economy recovers?
No, it's something to do with Big Ben.
Can I just say, Ian, I would be hurt if you said that my show was your third favourite show out of those three, but I'm involved with your first favourite show, so I'm happy.
Order. I don't know if he said that in any particular order, apart from he said that the 20 megabyte was his favourite.
He just said, he said, sorry, Reese, at the end, implying it was in an order, but I'm involved with the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, which is his favourite, so, yeah!
I love the way you say you're involved with the podcast. That like, sounds like you're, we're like your bit on the side.
Well.
Well, there you go. Anyway, got some written feedback.
Well, unless it's official.
Yeah. Got some written feedback, which Ben might have in his inbox.
I have.
I know,
Mike. Richard starts by
saying...
Hello, Richard.
I've got to tell you, it's written down, he can't hear you.
Is that what he says?
Yeah. That's what he starts off by saying. He says, hello, this is written down, so I can't hear you.
Okay.
He starts by saying, 100!
Yay!
Which is a reasonably good dart score. A milestone, to say the least. As a fan of comic books, it represents the time when we celebrate a milestone with some big event in TV. You get some equally momentous moment for the viewers for a podcast we get. Well, I cannot honestly say what we should get. A podcast is a simple means of talking about something we all care about. It provides a means to listen to another person's perspective and opinion on a topic. For the listener, we are given a chance to reflect on what was said. Excuse me, I'm talking, lips moving.
I can't see the move.
Ah, well, in that case, you're not looking at the right video stream. Let me move the webcam up a little bit. For the listener, we are given... I thought I'd give you all a present for the 100th. For the listener, we are given a chance to reflect on what was said and give our feedback. For such a simple thing, this does beg the question, does the 100th podcast represent something we should stop and talk about?
Yes.
In this business, as usual, or a moment to celebrate. Whatever the answer is, I will say one thing about this particular weekly podcast. I have to admire the dedication you all have to gathering week after week that has shaped and created the podcast we listen to. It truly shows how much you care for the show as well as how much you care for the listener. Yeah, it's also the fact that I haven't got a job. If I didn't tell you that, I'll probably... whatever choice you made, I am thankful for you personally putting up with my recent errors. I hope to listen to another 100 podcasts. God.
As I wonder well if there are 100.
He doesn't actually there specify which podcast he wants to listen to. He never knows. He might find a good one if he carries on listening for to other podcasts. Not that we mention other podcasts.
Right?
Well, anyway, we will be mentioning some other podcasts in a minute.
I hope to listen to another 100 podcasts, as well as eagerly await to see what other surprise interviews you will have in the future. Keep up the good work. Lots of love and hugs. That bit he didn't put in there, but I thought I would to make it end nicely. Love and hugs and kisses to everyone except Reese. Richard Cole.
Thank you, Richard. Now, I can't remember... Alan Butcher did actually put a review on Facebook, on iTunes. Well, I can't remember if I actually mentioned it before. They actually all read it out.
Does anyone... No, I don't think you did.
Read
I don't remember.
Read it out.
He said, with 5 stars, and you all can do this, listeners, go onto iTunes and click on write a review.
You can all click on 5 stars on it, even if you don't mean it.
Yeah, exactly. Unlike Adam Saunders, the utter... Anyway, that's
me.
Who, anyway,
his men return.
Alan Butcher says, clearly can see... Do you mind not interrupting my reading of reviews on
iTunes?
You interrupted
my saying of a sentence.
No, I started.
I started.
Oh, shush.
Girls.
We need to think like children.
Clearly conceived as a family podcast, the 20 megabyte family has grown. It is always entertaining and enjoyable. The human zoo that is extended the... Sorry, the... is the extended 20 megabyte family are a unique listening experience. At the heart of it all is Adam, long-suffering ringmaster of the second law of thermodynamics, who enjoys his role even as the disorder inevitably rises, often in line with his apparent blood pressure.
You got us confused there.
Subscribe and listen to this podcast, and like me, you will smile every time you hear that most distinctive of distinctive of theme tunes in Doctor Who podcast. And on Twitter, that fine medium.
Twitter said.
On
Twitter.
On Twitter, it says, this is from Sam Burrows, at Carlantini. To all the team, congrats on the 100th episode of the saboteuring, laptop-smashing, iPod-breaking, cricket-updating, Moffat-baiting, clock-chiming, Isabella-singing, Ben-submerging, Kirby-seasoning, Robert-regenerating... Reese early rising, Alicia burping and farting, I'll put that bit in myself, magic farting, Adam ticket to riding, Merlin watching, jelly babying, Isle of Wight based, American Australian underwater, Who Won sponsored, no further adoing, 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Yeah, and hold on a minute, you missed out the fact that there's someone on the mainland of England, the main bit of England,
the
bit that it gets its name from, England. No mention of that, Isle of Wight, what? Only 6 people and 3 dogs there, and 2 of them are in Adam's house.
Anyway, thank you for that, Sam, that's lovely to get some.
Hey, but so, thanks,
how
Dad.
Many tweets was lots, that?
I mean, 4 tweets, yeah, I'll just drop my phone now. Excuse me. While I compose myself, Ben, do you have the charts?
I do have the charts. Shall we do? See if we can do them. Let's see if we can get them read out before episode 101 starts, shall we?
Yeah.
I doubt
number 30, Kev.
Right, we'll give it a go.
Yeah.
At number 30, it's a new entry for...
Travelling Vortex.
Just waiting to see if anyone wanted to guess. No, not Travelling the Vortex, no.
I can't remember.
Talking Who.
Oh.
At 29, a re-entry for Geek Syndicate, which is slightly misspelled and in the
that's
wrong category.
Kirby's podcast.
That's got to be called Greek Syndicate.
That's the pedantic.
Greek.
This is a podcast about
Pedandoids. That's a good one. I like that.
That's Kirby's podcast.
No, I don't think that.
I do.
28, it's a re-entry for Dave AC. And, of course, Dave AC is half of the recently split-up rock group AC/DC. That's Dave from AC. Yeah. He's not on a highway to hell, he's just on a high... That's it, because he only got half the title. In the alimony split. At 27, it's up 2 for Tim's take on. At 26, a re-entry for Arrow of Time. At 25, down 2 for the Cultdom Collective. 24 is up 3 for the Drunken Time Travel Podcast. And at 23, it's up 5 for the Sonic Toolbox. 22 is up 3 for Earth Station 1. At 21, up 1 for Galacast from France. Oh, ho, ho, ho.
Oh,
oh, oh,
oh.
That's good.
Oui, monsieur. Oui, oui.
Bonjour, bonjour. France, we talk about Doctor Who. Ah, let's jump across. Arsenal are now. at number 20, non-move. At number 19, a re-entry.
Wait, button. I didn't hear number 20.
Never mind, it wasn't important.
Travelling the Vortex.
Travelling the Vortex.
Okay.
At number 19, a re-entry for Who on Who. At 18, a re-entry for... She said get off actually. Number 18 is for Ian Todd. She said you're married, what are you doing?
Talking of Ian Todd, he just joined our group.
Yes, he just commented on my status. He's the one who asked what was Frasier's highlight of filming the two Doctors.
Oh, okay.
Why do you call him Frasier?
Oh, did stop I say Frasier? Being pedantic. Yes, you did, but don't mind.
That's Kirby's
We're
job.
Doing the charts, we can talk about pedantry later on.
That's Kirby's job, man.
Yes.
Robert.
Number 17.
Kirby?
We'll start again, because it's sort of ruined my podcast.
Call him Frasier.
At number 13.
No, we're up to 17. Correction. Oh, no, for God's sake.
Okay, 17. It's down.
Shut up. Stop interrupting.
Don't interrupt me. I'm allowed to interrupt, but I'm not allowed to be interrupted. That's the rule. At 17. Oh, no, I'm going to lose it. At 17, it's down 1 for Articles
of...
Oh, no.
Did you see me the other day, actually, on Whitney Houston's funeral?
No, here we go.
Did they show the bit where I burst out the coffin in a comedy style? I started singing that.
Was it you that upset Bobby Brown, made him leave?
It was, yeah.
You had his seat.
I needed to sit somewhere. I thought the best way to do it would be get a seat right at the back. So, yes, I made him walk out. I sent him a tweet. I won't tell you what it said, but let's just say it had expletives in it.
That's the one with a lot of Fs in it, right, yeah.
Yeah, yes. For some reason, I called him Fobby Foul. It wasn't very pleased.
Anyway. Fobby Frown, that would probably be about right, wouldn't it? Anyway, yeah, sorry, number 16 we're up to.
It's got to notice if you keep interrupting him.
Mm. He used to be a member of Through Attrition. Right, number 17 we've done. Number 16, this does take bloody ages.
It shouldn't do, but...
No, well, shut up and let me speak and stop interrupting me. Cool. At 16...
Go on, come on.
2 minute time lord. At number...
No, 2 minute time lord, that was listeners, by the way.
2 minute time lord. Mm. Yeah, that's what she said. Yeah.
I'm very quick show.
He was in the middle of regenerating. At number 15, it's down 3 for Waffle On Podcast. At number 14, it's brand new, a new one. I've never heard of this. A madman with a box.
And as opposed to a madman with a podcast, as I feel at the moment.
Ah. At number 13, it's down 3 for Who Is The Man Podcast.
Sorry, say that again. You went all funny.
The underwater menace.
My underwater app that I keep on kicking in every now and again. At number 13, it's down 3 for Who Is The Man Podcast.
Down 3?
Hooray!
Number 12, down 3, is Staggering Stories. And at number 11, a non-mover, Bad Will. And number 10. Top 10 guys into the big top 10. Which means we've probably only got five minutes of recording this chart. And number 10, it's down 3 for Doctor Who. Who's he? Which rhymes.
Who is he?
Who's he? Number it depends which episode you're watching, from which series. At number 9, it's down 4.
Doctor Who show.
Stop interrupting the blimmin' charts, for God's sake!
Bruno Brooks never had this problem, that's all I'm saying.
Where's the Happiness Patrol?
They didn't release one this week. Anyway, number 9.
The penis has been released. Sorry, the happiness is not been
released. Did you stop flapping your ears?
Sorry.
Third. number 9. Number 9. We got that?
Yes.
Down 4.
Nine. For the,
number 9. For the 20
Shut up!
Doctor Who podcast.
Never heard of it.
Down 4. You shouldn't be cheering that.
No, I just wanted a bit of silence for our entry in the charts and everybody's talking over it, for God's sake. Magic, kill!
You don't want to be number 9.
Hey?
Number 9 is quite frankly rubbish.
I don't care.
Why are we at number 9?
Because nobody can hear the charts.
The podcast is being.
I've got to ask before I do the big top 8.
Yes.
If you,
top 8?
You have explained this before, but I probably wasn't listening then, and I probably won't listen again now. I'll ask the question anyway.
That's what she said.
Yeah, exactly. Does each download count towards the chart of, like, in a proper music chart thing?
I don't know, probably.
Because I do subscribe and download it every week. I've never listened.
Oh, no, you've got to listen to it as well, Ben.
I do.
How do you listen to it, though?
I don't know. I'm just trying to get you to listen to the show. You've got to listen to this one, hasn't he, everybody? Your task for this week is to listen to just this one episode of the 20 Megabyte podcast, because obviously you'll miss the hour or so that happened before you lot came onto the show.
That's very true. But I did listen back to the one with Louise Jameson a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, of course I did, because I was on it live.
What do you think of the standard of editing on it?
I don't know. I was more interested in my questions and how I came across. I was on that one a lot. You know, I saved it. I had to make sure I was good.
And because I was in hospital.
You know, I used to listen to my radio shows on the way home from Southampton, Adam. So I used to record it in the studio and listen on the way home to make sure.
I used to listen to your radio shows on my way out to Shanklin before you joined. We used to record out in Shanklin when you were on the Key.
Ah, yes, that glorious radio station that isn't.
When you pretended that you were interested in Portsmouth Football Club.
Yeah, that's one of my great abilities, is to lie about which football club I support. When I worked in Southampton, I supported Southampton. When I worked in Portsmouth, I supported Portsmouth. When I worked in Swindon, I supported Man United. I think that's...
I thought you supported Man United wherever you were working. Stop flapping your... What's the matter with you lot?
I'm sorry.
And guess what?
What?
I actually watched the game between AC Milan and Arsenal.
I laughed my ass off.
Honestly, some commentators should be shocked when they say stupid things like, Arsenal really need to get a goal.
Didn't Milan score some crackers in that game? I'll tell you what, I'm not going to be playing the chart music over this particular section because it just won't work because we have a couple of digressions going on here.
You normally put the chart music on.
I normally put the chart music, but I don't think it's going to work on this occasion. So, sorry, listeners, no chart music this week because there's too many digressions. So, it's all Robert's fault.
I know the chart music every week. But there are, you're quite right, though. There are some commentators that need to be shot, namely Alan Smith from Sky Sports, who's just I won't say that word because it's nasty. He's an idiot, quite frankly. Mm. Anyway, back to the charts.
Please.
Charts.
Oh, are we doing the charts?
Number eight.
This is called the chart half hour. At number 8, it's a re-entry.
Will you be quiet?
That's one above number 9. It's the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. And just in case you missed it, number 10 was down 3 for Doctor Who's He. At 11, just to go back a bit further, was a non-move Bad Wolf, and at 12, it was down 3 for Staggering Stories. 13 was down 3 for
Who's... Stop, stop.
Number 9.
You're going the wrong way.
We've done number 9.
Number 8.
Yes.
Are we ready for number 8?
Please.
The big reveal. It's a re-entry for the Doctor Who cast.
Germany, yeah.
No, that's the Who cast from Germany, not the Doctor Who cast.
The Doctor Who podcast from Germany.
Ah.
The Doctor Who podcast from Germany. This one is just called the Doctor Who podcast.
No, that's this is the Doctor Who cast. Number 8, re-entry. The Doctor Who cast.
The Doctor Who cast.
Yes, now that's number 7.
Number 7 is down 4 for Impossible Podcasts, which is the subtitle of this one.
Yes.
That's impossible.
Yeah.
Number 6 is a re-entry. No, I'm not going to tell you now.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Number 5.
Okay.
Is...
What's 4 then?
No, I'm not going to tell you. Number 6.
All right then. Number 6 is the Ood cast.
Yay.
If you're in New Zealand, it would be number 6.
Thank you.
And if it was in Canada...
They eat fish and chips too.
All right, yes. Thank you very much. Lovely.
They do.
Yes. Number 5.
He's alive.
Johnny 5 is alive! Number 5. For the Flashing Blade.
And listeners, he said number 5 is a re-entry for the Flashing Blade.
You number heard that.
I didn't.
I did.
Number 4! Is a re-entry for the DWO. Ow.
I think you've buggered up your microphone there because it's gone really, really quiet.
Oh dear.
No, it's not going underwater. It's just gone like you're in the other room now.
It's the underwater menace.
Dun, dun, dun.
Nothing in the world can stop him now.
Yeah, his broken microphone can stop him.
Number 4 is a re-entry.
Is my microphone working better now?
It's working, but it's very quiet.
Oh, my goodness.
What about now?
That's better.
Yeah, hit it with a hammer.
Yes.
Number 4 is a re-entry for the DWO Who cast.
Oh, goodness.
Number 3 is down 1. Can you believe
the underwater?
Oh, dear, he seems to be going underwater.
Underwater. Your fan stopped working.
For the Tin Dog podcast.
I wish I'd done top 10 only this week.
Number 3. This is the best bit of the show. Number 3.
Yes.
We've done. Number 2. It's a re-entry for Radio Free Charo.
It's a re-entry for you. Church, let him get spit out the number 1 for God's sake.
Under the sea.
Under the sea, down where it's better, down where it's wetter. That's what she said. Number 1 is a non-mover for the Doctor Who podcast.
Never heard of it.
I tell you what, we should change the name to something that includes
Doctor Who podcast, and maybe just add to how big it is in it.
Anyway, thank you, Ben, for eventually doing the charts. I just got slightly sidetracked then because they're showing on Sky Sports News that the fight between Derek Chisora, whatever his name is, and David Hay, and it's so entertaining that I just need to rewind live TV to watch it again.
You know, I haven't seen it. I've actually just found it on the internet, and I will watch it.
Recently they've been showing is like one shot with a mobile phone over his shoulder, but this one is Sky Sports' own footage of the side views, and it's great. But it's not as good as the handheld shot, because you don't see this spit flying across the whole...
Is that Kirby or Reese?
Is that Radio Rassilon?
Anyway. Yeah, so, right... I'm glad that's out of the way. I'm sure there's something I wanted to talk about.
And it says we go on tangents. I mean, jeez.
At number 30...
I thought when I decided it might be a good idea to spend about 2 hours compiling a charts for this show, that actually was quite a good idea. But I didn't expect it to take longer to read out the charts than it does to actually compile them.
Do we have any more feedback?
No, I don't know. I'm just checking. It's like having more presenters than listeners as well, which is a strange scenario this show has often had.
Well, yeah.
But Adam.
Yes, yes.
some of your contributors are actually listeners as well.
True.
I listen to the show.
That's what I like to hear.
Ben doesn't. I do.
They should be called listen tributors.
Dear, no.
Doesn't work the other way. I did try it in my head first.
That's what she said.
Right. I just look like we've got any more. But last, we still had quite a lot of messages this week, as far as I can make out.
Let me just have a look in my inbox. See what I've got. Okay. I've got some messages here.
Yeah.
Are they for the podcast?
Yeah, they are. Yes, absolutely.
Right.
I've actually just received an email telling me that there's a brand new Peppa Pig thing for 2012 at Poulton's Park, which is quite interesting. Oh, where are they? And Holly's Little Kingdom.
Have you seen those? Have you seen those Dalek egg cups?
No.
No.
They look pretty good. Chris Gallagher's got a picture on his Facebook, and it's got an egg sitting in one. Looks like Davros has changed into an egg, so just thought I'd share that.
Thank you for that. We have had a little bit of...
anyway, I've got some feedback here, if you want it.
Yes, please.
This one says, congratulations on your 100th podcast. I enjoy listening every week, even though sometimes the talking goes to an aim nonsense. Thank you for mentioning my time. I do quite appreciate the mentions I get regularly.
Mentioning what?
Who's that from then?
Lots of love, Stephen Moffat. Oh, here's one. Here's another one that's come in. Dear Doctor Who 20 Megabyte Podcast and Podcast 20 Megabyte.
And the water.
Come back. Come on.
Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast. Congratulations on reaching 100 episodes. Who'd have thought it would have been possible as we...
Especially when you're underwater reading it out.
Universe, many, lots of love, Dalek Sek. So, thanks very
Where'd
much.
Where'd you get that one from?
Dalek what?
Oh, Dalek Sek.
You made
He's
it
a
up.
Good friend of mine.
Oh, right.
Dalek Sek. Oh, Dalek Sek, right.
Sek. Yes, Race. Oh, I think you're Karen Gillan again, aren't you?
No, she's not a Dalek.
I did. Well, there was one more bit of.
Right, so I've got one more.
The actress of the bishop.
Go on then.
This one says, "Dear 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, once again, congratulations on reaching 100 episodes of what is my favourite podcast."
Underwater.
Is your fan broken?
No. Must be my internet connection.
Okay.
I'll continue with it.
Yeah,
but I continue to download the podcast every week, although I very rarely listen to it, and I really wish you wouldn't mention me on
Love Ben,
as I don't ever get time to. I can't read that bit. Don't ever get time to talk about my time in Doctor Who anymore, as I've now pretended that I wasn't ever in it. Lots of love, Chris
Eccleston.
Thank you,
Chris.
Yes,
I really do wish you hadn't broken your microphone, because it was actually quite nice having you on the surface of the water. It's
is
a shame.
It still broken?
Hmm?
Is it still broken?
It's coming and going.
Adam?
Yes?
I'll have to send you my hearing aids next time.
What do you mean?
so that Ben won't have to shout.
Oh, I see.
And if anyone who listens to the podcast wants to buy me a new laptop, then that would be greatly appreciated.
Me too, please.
I haven't got any duty-free fags.
They didn't get you any?
No, and what was really annoying is that one of my bestest mates was out of the country last week when I made that plate.
Was he underwater with you?
I then texted him in Lisbon, where he was. That's Portugal, by the way, to all you non-English people.
Yes, I know that.
And, didn't bring me any back, so I was a little bit disappointed.
What a tight wad.
Right then, anyway, so what does everybody think? I mean, it's difficult, Ben, because he doesn't listen to a lot of the programmes, but I was thinking about favourite things. 100 episodes out of the way. Is there anything that springs to mind that could be your favourite thing that's happened over the last 100 episodes?
Yeah, I'll go first on this one. My favourite thing that happened to the podcast, or has happened in the 100 episodes.
Ben being on it.
Yeah, yes. It's probably about episode 48 when I appeared.
And the Louise Jameson interview. carried it all along.
Excuse me,
I asked several questions. In fact, yeah. I kept her comfortable while Ben was asking her questions about...
Oh, you kept her comfortable, did you?
Where was she?
You know what I mean.
Yes.
That about Martin Clunes' programme.
Yeah, certainly. I think the best thing that happened to the podcast is me joining and Alicia leaving, definitely.
She hasn't left.
She hasn't left, Ben.
Well, maybe she should.
She won't be. Well, not apart from when she allegedly, she keeps telling us, goes to university. Don't know where she's getting the money for that one.
Pizza toppings.
Don't be like that.
So anyway, anybody else got any favourite moments?
Yes, can I share mine?
Please.
Mine was
Ben.
Listening to you guys... sorry?
As long as it involved me.
Yeah, yeah. No, I just thank you that I'm involved in such a lovely podcast. And, what got me listening... No, what I really appreciated was the fact that I could lie in bed at night listening to this podcast and I'd just be laughing my head off. I'd be crying with tears, with laughter, because of the way that Adam and Alicia would interact with each other. And it would drive my wife crazy that I kept her up by laughing all the time. So I just thank you guys for the laughter.
Thank you very much. I'll say something for Alicia, who's been a stalwart of the program since episode one. She is... an absolute delight to me to have as a daughter and to have on the show, because she makes me laugh as well. I know I sound, I do get annoyed with her, but
I
listen to it back, if it wasn't in the show, I wouldn't have it in. She's an absolute delight. She can be a pain in the neck, but she's a lovely, lovely person. And
just like you.
Shut up. She's on the earlier part of this show, just for you presenters, so you've got something to listen to. You're not in. She is on the first part of the show. Isabella is on it as well.
Oh, good.
Of course, you know that by listening every week.
I know. Yeah.
My favorite thing was what hooked me on the podcast in the first place was Amy fell down to the ground.
Yes, I love that picture. Yeah, we got that so often, didn't we?
She doesn't do that very often.
Yeah. Yeah, what a shame.
Reese?
But that was her catchphrase.
Inadvertently.
Yeah.
Anything, Reese?
Asked back on after my review of The Girl Who Waited.
No, I actually meant anything of in the actual programme itself that you remember, not the bits you were in. For Christ's sake.
No, the privilege of working with
you. Thank
you
very much. I appreciate that. That's lovely. I just love the way you try and dodge the fact that you're a co-presenter on the programme. You are a co-presenter on, and try and make out you're just a contributor or somebody who happens to gate crash it when you actually are a co-presenter, which is quite amusing, really, in my view.
Right. Well, can I congratulate you?
Oh, stop interrupting each other. Ben.
The wife's just come back. From work,
yes.
So you could ask her what her favourite bit of the podcast is.
Did you tell her that she got a mention in one of the feedbacks?
I certainly haven't. She's just walked through the door.
No.
What did you say?
Wasn't me. It was one of our contributors who. Who was it?
No,
now?
No.
Got the name wrong, but
don't.
But meant you. I can't remember it was now.
If you'd like to elaborate, so I knew what you were talking about, that would be good.
Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, so congratulatory message for our 100th episode, and everybody got a mention, including you, even though your name was wrong in the...
So you mean Holly?
Yes, but they meant you.
We didn't say it.
I'll tell you my favourite bit of the podcast.
Well, the bit where Ben switches off his computer.
Yeah.
Well done, our wives are very similar, Adam.
Yeah, but at least your computer remains intact apart from the microphone when you've finished doing the podcast.
That's more true than not, yeah.
Another thing that you listeners...
Are you nearly finished, by the way, because it's lunchtime?
Oh, what are you cooking me?
Same as she's cooking me.
It's not even breakfast time yet, sorry.
I think we might have to finish in a minute. I've got to cook the dog's dinners.
Oh, the madness!
That's a shame. I don't really want to finish this week. But, just to let you know, you lot, not listeners, because listeners already know, that we had a brilliant bit of audio come through from Professor Phil from Adventures in Time, Space and Music. He did an analysis and story behind our theme music. Thank you, Dr. Phil. Yeah. I didn't say this earlier on because I want to save it for now. It's right at the beginning of the show, and it's wonderful. And he's obviously spent a lot of time doing that. And
if we can all do the hand jive while listening to it.
Yeah.
So, yes. Yes.
So we'll hear the music again at the end of the show, but in its usual guise. And of course, Isabella has done a new copyright disclaimer for this week. Oh. So.
Right.
What?
Copyright laws change.
Pardon?
Copyright
no.
Line.
No, the disclaimer at the end of the show. Don't you ever listen to it right at the end?
Pretty.
That's for the proper dedicated listener, that
Doctor
is.
Doctor Who is a copyright of...
I know.
Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended, but in Isabella's voice.
Isabella's
voice has changed. Wow.
I'm surprised you need a copyright infringement thing on the back of this. Who's going to want to copy it?
Very funny.
Everyone who downloads that's a copy of it.
No, not copyright for the show. It's a disclaimer from the BBC.
Doctor Who is copyrighted.
Yes.
But it's only copyrighted if you write it down. We're not writing it down.
Oh, you're so clever.
But we're only actually ever speaking the words Doctor Who, which has no sort of copyright law around, because that would be impossible.
So anyway, over the last 100 episodes, I'm probably going to miss somebody, but thank you, Alicia, Isabella, Deb, Maddie, Reese, Robert, Kirby, Ben, all the feedback contributors, especially the ones that do all the time, like Mary, Ian, and Richard Carpenter, and all the ones that used to provide feedback, like Glade Packer, and the ones that obviously kicked it off, like Draculosaurus. Pardon, what did you say?
Tecumen James,
yes. So Wes Dualman, Wendell Dualman. I nearly did my Wendell voice, but I haven't Dualman got enough brothers. Of the croak at the moment.
Go on.
The Mega Podcast. All of these people provided. I need a croak.
Do it.
Voice.
Do it.
Wendell from
do it.
The old Mega Podcast. who else were we? who else we used to have? we once got one from Bob from the Flashing Blade, and that was quite
Bob.
Nice.
Bob.
That's about it, really, isn't it? Not forgetting James Wright from the Unearthly Child podcast.
The Wright brothers.
Was an early feedback contributor to the show. So everybody who's made any contribution to the show over the last 100 episodes. Magic Star, thank you. The fish, who's been very quiet.
Podcast.
Yes, well, my mum. Was she on it once? I think she was. Rachel, we have to have a special one. We have Rachel on the show. Is she ever not working on a Monday?
No, she normally works Monday afternoon, but because she's a teacher or something.
Yeah, thank you, Rachel, for letting Ben do it.
Yeah, an inset day. So she's
the show, that is.
Morning. So she's normally on at the beginning, but today she's on at the end.
Yeah.
That's
I'd also like to thank who's that bloody pizza manufacturer that Alicia was beating pizzas from? They never get a plug. Not Goodfellas, the other one. Pizza Hut, you have to go buy it from the shop. The ones that they're frozen pizzas you
Domino's.
Cook in the microwave. No.
McCain's.
No, I'm not plugging pizzas she doesn't eat.
Why not? We plug other podcasts. We're not on.
And most of all, we had a. Obviously, if you want to donate to the show, it's very important. We have funding because it costs money to actually have the show on. And we have had a contribution this way. And thank you very much to the person who knows who he is, who contributed the amount of money he did. And that has helped a great deal. no, it hasn't got quite not quite that much, but any little bit helps. And he also contributed before, so it's just... my heart goes out. Thank you very much.
Now,
especially to have it on
importantly of all, though...
Yes?
And on behalf of all the listeners and the rest of my co-hosts here, we'd like to thank you, Adam, for starting the show and letting us all get together every week to have a chat about Doctor Who.
No, well, I thank you. You don't have to join me.
It's a highlight of my week.
Good
grief.
It wakes me up on
well,
Monday
Well, it does... I do feel rather honoured.
Wake me up.
That
before you go.
The Ben has actually stuck with the show for so long. getting him out of bed at 11 o'clock in the morning to do the show.
Yeah, you literally do get me out of bed every Monday morning.
And poor old Kirby up at like 4 o'clock in the morning. Hey, Kirby, you were up a bit earlier this morning.
Huh?
You were up a bit earlier than normal this morning, weren't you?
No.
No?
Actually, I was up a little bit later.
Well, yeah, the clock's gone backwards or forwards.
No, I'm off work today, and I didn't have to get up and shower and all that stuff.
Because it's President's Day.
Adam.
Yes?
Adam.
You're not sharing today.
You've missed out some very important...
I was talking about funding, and I just wanted to save to last our sponsors, whowon.co.uk.
And some other...
Thank you, Nick, and I've missed out some other news. I'm just about to be enlightened by Ben.
Yes, we should thank Sydney Newman, C.E. Weber, and Donald Wilson.
Sydney Newman's for certain.
Verity Lambert.
Verity Lambert.
Yeah, what about Verity Lambert?
Yeah, Russell T. Davis.
Stephen
Moffat.
Matt Smith for being brilliant.
John Nathan Turner for having a beard.
Tom Baker. John
and some very awful looking shirts. Hines.
And a husband.
I've seen one of John Nathan Jameson. Turner's shirts in real life when he came to the Needles on the Isle of Wight to open up the Doctor Who exhibition at the Needles.
Were you blinded?
We should also thank the police from the 800s who decided to install telephone boxes around the...
Blinded by the lights.
I don't know if I can say much more. Just a big, big thank you to everybody, and hopefully we will be back in about a year and a half to do episode 200.
K9, don't forget to thank K9.
Oh, of course, our special guests we've had over there. Everybody remember the special guests? We had Nick Briggs first. I think he was the first special
Toby
guest.
Toby Haydock.
Obviously, for special thanks to Toby, because it's thanks to him that we've had Fraser and Louise and Andrew Smith.
Fraser and Louise.
Yeah. Toby Whithouse. Thank you.
Hello, Dickinson.
Pardon? What did you say?
Alistair Pearson.
Alistair Pearson, yes.
Debbie Pearson.
Murray Gold.
Murray Gold.
Oh, I wish Murray Gold.
I wish. I must try and get Murray Gold on the show at some point.
Oh, I wish too.
Graham Sheridan, that's a lovely one. Graham Sheridan was an early contributor to the show when he used to tell me what I was doing wrong.
Yes.
So.
Ricky Ponting.
Well, someone mentioned Karen Gillan, I'll be in my bunk.
And of course...
Hey! Didn't Australia do well at the end of their innings?
I'm still thanking people here. Sebastian Brook.
Hit them all over the place.
Thank you. Sebastian Brook and Paul, I've forgotten his name, from the Who cast when it first went out that inspired me to actually go into podcast. Paul Wilson. Sebastian Brook and Paul Wilson.
Who Ron Granger.
Inspired me to go into podcasting into the first place. Yes.
Ron Granger, yes. And Delia Derbyshire.
Yes.
Ben Foster.
I love the way Kirby called it Adelia Derbyshire. That was...
Right.
That's Galactica.
Was I incorrect?
Yes, it's Derbyshire. Adelia Derbyshire. But it doesn't matter. It's just an Americanism.
An esteemed consciousness.
Nick Briggs. Oh, we've thanked him.
Yeah, we've already thanked Nick Briggs.
Steven Spielberg.
Have I forgotten anyone?
Yes.
Who?
The Ewok.
I don't know.
Oh, that's right.
The Ewok.
Yes, so I'd make no apologies for the fact that this show is nearly 3 hours long.
The Autons.
There's a silence in the room.
The Daleks. The Cybermen.
Mary Whitehouse.
Karen Gillan for being absolutely gorgeous. Elizabeth Sladen for being wonderful. And
Alex Kingston for equally being gorgeous.
What?
Hey? Well, she's wild. She's a bit old for you. Reese?
I mean, Nicholas Courtney.
Nicholas Courtney, Barry Letts for bring it back to
Ian Martyr.
Success. Hang on, there we could go on for hours here. Now, thank you, everybody. Yes,
we should thank people
which
involved.
We already have, of course. Next week, listeners,
Irving Pinfield,
hey,
Kirby.
Yes. Oh, yes, sorry, Ben. Kirby, Robert, Reese, me, Alicia. Are we done those?
Adam.
Rex Tucker.
My father-in-law for nearly killing himself the other week for doing the fence when I should have been helping him when I was doing the podcast.
Okay, what are we talking about next week?
Next week is Father's Day, isn't it? Father's Day.
Is it?
I believe so.
Donald Baverstock.
What?
They've changed it.
It's in September here.
What?
Father's Day.
Very funny. September the here. Episode by Paul Cornell called Father's Day.
Paul Cornell.
Yes.
Billy Piper.
Hugh David.
Philip Cerner says very good. Don't know what he means by that. What else? Well, some things just popped up on Facebook. Oh, somebody likes
I think he means he is very good.
Yeah.
Dennis Spooner.
Oh, I see. Very good, as in the standard of guests we get on this show. I do really like one day.
Oh, thank you.
Thing that
Gerald Savory.
Love to get a doctor on here one day.
Dr. Bancroft.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, right, that's it then.
Patrick
Trouton. To cook the dog's dinners and not do much editing and think about next week's show. I really enjoyed that. It was really good fun, apart from the chart.
Hold on, hold on.
Yes?
Terence Dix.
Thank you.
Yes, Terence Dix. And Barry Letts. Barry Letts used to let people do directing.
Very good. You have to get Rachel on to do it, I don't.
Ron Moody.
Yes.
Why do you want Rachel just on for an ident for? What for? What?
So she said, you're listening to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Right.
I am not Holly.
Come here, love.
She's got to do the disclaimer, and I am not Holly.
Oh, no, they might think it's my wife, no.
Holly, get here.
Oh, no.
Well, you've been listening to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
You've got to say.
Doddery.
You've got to use it on future podcasts. You've got to say.
Would you like my wife to say something?
Can do if she likes, but let's get Rachel out of the way first. I mean, not out of the way, as in, I mean, doing. Okay. Sorry, that sounds awful. Oh, good
off. Podcast, okay? All right, get ready to record.
It's recording.
20 megabyte ready? Doctor Who podcast. Look, there it is written down for you.
No, I'm not Holly.
You're listening to
that. Don't interrupt her, Robert.
Shut up. This is a one take. She won't do it yet. Go. Yes, now. Yes. You're listening to. That's how you start, okay? Because there's a point in me saying it because I'm on the blooming podcast every week.
You're listening to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Yay!
I'm not.
You should do.
Yeah, she listens to us. I do.
Right.
Anyway, love,
is that it?
Yeah.
Did
you finish?
Yeah. Nearly finished, yes.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Sure, you've got some ironing to do.
What? Ben?
Yeah?
You chauvinist.
I'm not a chauvinist. It's just the way that marriage works. Oh. The cleaning, the cooking. I'm just sitting around doing bugger all.
He's gone underwater again.
Yes. He's submerging.
Is Rachel drowning you?
I'll let you know one thing, right? There's only one of us in our relationship who owns a PlayStation 3. That's
there's only one of you in your relationship.
No, there's always me and my... Anyway.
Anyway.
She said...
She really didn't. She had her mouth full at the time.
Oh.
Anyway, oh. As it usually does, it takes about a year to actually end the show. That's about it then, isn't it, everyone? Oh. See you next week, hopefully.
And I'd just like to thank Russell T. Davies, Stephen
Moffat. All
right, Moffat.
Thank you. I haven't got a fade out.
Oh, Philip Hinchcliffe.
Hey?
Taggart.
Yes. No.
Robert
Bye.
Schumer.
Douglas Adams.
Bye.
Graham Williams. Anthony Reed.
Thank you, Fraser, for coming on the show.
Brian
we can't hear me coming.
Chris Bell.
Bye.
Bye. David Tennant. Bye. That's what she said.
What have you been doing all day?
We've been recording the 100th episode of the podcast.
Oh, for God's sake, not that crap again.
Why don't you listen to it? Might not be as bad as you think.
Doctor Who podcast is an APB Services production, is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is the trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.